Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm here, man. Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Slow down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press. The remix fresh with no prior song. Oh. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To get the piece of the piece, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is fragrant, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums, taste the radio. It can't be beat, the classy mix. Better leave all your doors and all half the week. Right. Positive and motivational strategy. Successful guest promoter, self-masturbate. BlogTalkRadio.com/remix Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Everyone, and welcome to the remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue. And of course, you know where you are. You are live in the remix. Welcome, 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 everyone. Thank you guys so much for joining me here. It's Friday night, August the 12th, 2011. And of course, you are live in the remix. So good to have you guys here. I know I'm doing the show a little later than normal. Just had a few things going on over here. But wanted to share some information I came across. First, before we actually get ready to get into the share, I just want to invite you all and definitely thank you for joining me here tonight live in the remix. I see the phone lines are filling up as well as the chat room. Good to see everyone in the house this week. What a week. What a week. What a week. What an amazing, hot, sunshiny, I don't even know what else to say, week that it has been. But it is so good to have you guys in the house and have you come and share with me today as well. So also, I want to also bring your attention. If you didn't go back and listen to the last remix that we did, the brother and sister that came on, Ancestral Voices, Brother D and Sister V that came in from the UK with an amazing share, you definitely want to go back and you want to download that show as well as all the shows right here on the remix. Lots of great information. I know you guys have been doing that. You have shared that with me. So that is amazing and awesome. So welcome, welcome, welcome. If it is your first time joining us here in the forum, I want to welcome you, especially if it's your first time in the chat room. And for those of you who have not experienced the chat room, know it is a great place to be as well. And lots of fun things happen over there. As well, too, in the remix chat room. You guys know what I'm talking about. I want to invite you to come on over, sign yourself up so you can participate in chat. It is an experience in itself as well. And if you don't know how to get there, all you have to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the remix, and the chat room is there. If you're a guest and you want to sign up, all you have to do is look down at the very bottom. There is a click sign in button, and all you have to do is sign in and come right on in. The remix family is going to make you feel right at home and also welcome. So good to have everyone in the house. Now, this weekend, as you guys know, and we talked about it on the last show, that Brother Bobby Hemmett is going to be in Columbia, South Carolina, and he's going to be at the Sphinx Paw. And I'll be giving out that information. If anybody has it in the chat room, I want you to post that as well, where Brother Bobby's going to be, but I'll give the number for the contact. You can always contact Brother Bobby Hemmett, 678-358-1055. Contact him directly and find out about that amazing share that's going to be going down. Lots of great information. So we're going to get ready to get started. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the goddesses of creation and also the magic of the Milky Way. Yes, and this is sort of going to be my interpretation of this. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. We'll keep it going. Tonight is going to be a three-hour show, so it's just going to be sharing. I'll also open up the phone lines a little later. You guys can feel free to call in, share what you want to share as well, too. So We're going to get started. Of course, you know we're going to get started. We're going to move around a little bit and dance. I'm just trying to wait for a little bit more people. Some people asked me to hold on just a minute as they get themselves situated and come into the house, come into the remix house and kind of move around. I don't know about you guys, but this has been a real interesting week for me. Actually, the last couple of weeks, but this week in particular. The readings have been amazing, as always. And what I love so much about it is that a lot of confirmations go out when you guys are coming and you're having the sacred sessions with me or the Akashic Record readings or the God Goddess or even the Baby Lotus reading. But I also get confirmation, too. So I'll be talking about that amongst the share tonight, some of the confirmation that came back my way as well, too. So it's just amazing, and I love it. Big shouts out to everyone whose birthday is this month, last month, and those who are having a birthday on tonight. So just a big round of applause to everyone. I want to give a big shout out to Lauren. I'm not going to say Lauren's last name, but today is Lauren's birthday. So it is her Earth Day, her birthday. It is a happy day, definitely a celebration day as well. So I think this is a good time. We can actually go ahead and get ourselves situated. It looks like we are ready. I am ready. I want to tell you guys this. Also, towards the end of the share tonight, we're actually going to be doing a meditation. Yes, a live meditation. We're going to be doing a meditation, and we're going to get a chance to take a ride on the Milky Way. So that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. So, like I said, the readings this week, amazing. You guys are amazing. You simply are. I love you guys. I love the share. I love us coming together, because not only do I get to share things with you that come through me through spirit, but you also get to share your experiences and your journeys with me as well, and your amazing spiritual journeys as well, too. So it's just been real powerful. They're powerful every week, but I'll tell you, this week, whoo, wow, a knock off the block. So here we go. We're going to do something a little different tonight. We're going to have the brothers. We're going to do a little bit of role playing, and I know you guys like the role play. I know you do. I know you guys like to role play, so we're going to be doing some role playing today. Yes. yes, we're going to do some role playing, and so the brothers will have a role, and sisters, you'll have a role too, as we get ready to get into the share. And again, this is my interpretation of how I sort of kind of put this together with the help of quite a few of what I consider to be my teachers and those of you guys included that share with me as well, too. So this is where we're going with this. So tonight, let's talk about the energy that is actually going on the planet tonight. Tonight is what's called, and some of you might be familiar with this phrase or this terminology. You know, when we talk about sort of the dog days of summer, are you guys familiar with that term, the dog days of summer, and understanding what the dog days of summer is? Well, the dog days of summer is really what we know in the Northern Hemisphere officially came to an end this week, what we call the dog days of summer, and we'll talk about this more. This is actually when the star Sirius, which is what they also call the dog star, returns to the sky. So you might have also noticed that outside tonight in some parts of the world, it actually got darker a lot quicker. It just got darker a lot quicker tonight. The stars seem to be a little bit more brighter than they normally are tonight, and you'll be able to see that. Matter of fact, even tonight, there's been reports that you could go outside and see sort of this meteor, see this star, see this star, sparkling star, star shower that's going to be going on, that you could actually see from all over the world, all over the planet. So typically, when we begin to talk about the star Sirius, this is when the star Sirius sort of kind of rises at the same time as the sun. So it returns to the sky. It kind of goes away, and then it comes back, and it returns to the star, to the sky. So this time of the year, typically we're talking about July the 3rd, somewhere around July the 3rd, up until August the 11th, somewhere around there, is when the dog star Sirius normally joins sort of the sun and comes back into play. And this is when the brightest star of the night can be seen, which is actually called the dog star. Now, this, if you guys have not noticed, this has been the hottest time of the year. This is really the hottest time of the planet. Now, back in ancient Egypt, this would have been right around the time of what we would call the summer solstice. Now, I don't want to confuse you guys. I want you to kind of follow me here. I got a point that I want to make here. I got a point. So it's also, in some terminologies, you might be able to see or might be able to hear that this is called the Nile star. This is another name that it's by, the star of Isis or the star of Aset. You might have heard this. Now, when this normally would have happened, if this would have been going back to the time, if we were to go back to the original calendar, it wouldn't actually take place around this time of the year. But because things have changed on the planet and there are some shifts going on with a lot of energy on the planet, we know the calendars are all off. I don't think that's a secret to anybody. We know that the calendars are all off. But this would actually be occurring in a perfect world, if we could say that, around June 25th. Now, another reason that the star just looks so, the moon just looks so amazing is because of this bright star that's there that's illuminating it. So it can be seen even brighter than what it normally would be seen as. So the moon has its own energy as well, but the star, the Sirius star, returning back to the sky is what is just illuminating everything that is going on up there. So in ancient times, what would happen in ancient Egypt, this is when the star would always come back to the sky, and this would sort of be a symbol to all of the people, sort of kind of as a warning to prepare them for the river, for the Nile River, that it would be flooding again, and that this water could be used to help fertilize the land. So what they would do is actually begin to open up the gateways. There's that term, gateways. They would open up the gateways to different canals so that the land could be fertilized by the water. So real interesting. So now, what would happen, because there would be priests that were in the temple. The priests were the ones who really sort of kind of watched the calendar, found out when things would be happening, what would be going on. So in the temple of Dimroth, this is real interesting, there's a statue. And in that temple, there is a statue of the goddess Hathor, or as we know her, the goddess Heteru. We're going to stay true to her origin. We're going to call her Heteru. Now, what would happen is inside the temple, there is this statue, and the statue is placed on this pillar, and it's placed in a specific location, this statue of Heteru. And they would take a jewel, okay? So let me grab my little amethyst, that actually came from Tanzania, and I'm going to place this on my forehead. They would place a jewel right in the center. I know you guys thought that dot came from somewhere else, right? But anyway, they would place a jewel right in the center of the goddess Heteru's forehead, right there. The priests would do this. And what they would be watching for, because our ancestors understood the science of the universe and really how that impacted them, they would place that jewel right in the center of her forehead, and they would wait for that bright star, the star Sirius, to return to the sky, and that light would shine immediately on that gem. Now, once that light would fall right on that gem, and that gem would begin to shine, What the priests would do is they would get themselves together, and this is going to be key because, brothers, this is where you're going to come in tonight. They would get themselves together, and they would march from the temple into where the people were, and they would announce that the new year was here so that they could begin to open up those gateways. So whenever the star Sirius returns to the sky, it's going to be the brightest star that's out there, so you can't miss it. It's going to be very bright. It's almost going to have like a white iridescent kind of glow to it. And check this out, with the twinkle of a little bit of blue in it. So that's how you're going to know it's there. It also is going to reflect all of those colors of the rainbow. So this star, this star, star Sirius, going there. So what does that mean to us today, August the 12th, 2011? What does that mean for us? It means a lot of things to us. One of the things that it actually means to us is that the hottest part of the year is now behind us. The hottest part of the year is behind us. Did you guys hear what I'm saying? The hottest time of the year is behind us. So we can rest assured, I can tell you guys, not based upon what they tell you on the news, not based upon what you read in the newspaper, not based upon what you read in your little history books, but based upon our ancestors and their precise science of understanding about the universe and what was going on, that the hottest times are behind us for this year. Okay? Doesn't mean it won't still be hot, but the hottest times are behind us. So that's excellent. So now, here's what we're going to do, because we're going to get into the share right after this. Okay, so here is the deal. All of the brothers in the house, you're going to be priests tonight. You're going to be the priest, and all of us, every single sister in the house, we know that we encompasses all of the gods and goddesses within us. Each one of us is going to be the goddess Hathor. And so we're going to be sitting on our little thrones. And there you go. And we're going to have our little jewels in the top of our head. And I want you to just imagine the light coming in. And I want you, brothers, you're going to march in. And you're going to march around us. And you're really just going to honor that part of not only yourself, but also us. And we're going to honor that part of you. There it is. You see, we're going to pay reverence to the goddess Heteru, and also to the goddess Aset. And we will be talking about those two goddesses and the role that they play with the Milky Way. It's a lot of sky activity going on, and every single person I did a reading for this week confirmed that without them even having a clue about what I was going to do the show on. At that time, I didn't even know the name of the show. I knew I would be talking about the Milky Way and the goddesses, but I didn't really have it down. So every single one of them would be talking about this. So here we go. Brothers, you're going to get ready to march. Sisters, let's get in our little positions here, our goddess position. And we're going to listen to this song. And this is how we're going to raise the energy tonight. And the information that I found, hopefully it will be helpful to you. It was very helpful to me. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to just share those things to you that have been very helpful for me. And we can talk about it together and just continue on our journey and our path to rise. So here we go, brothers, all the priests, every brother in the house is a priest tonight. Not that there were not women priests, because there were. But tonight, all the brothers, you're priests tonight. And so imagine yourself looking at the calendar, looking at the sky, coming into the temple, and imagine your goddess sitting there, really sort of kind of giving that sign that the star Sirius, the star Vaset, has returned to the sky. And so now the land will be nurtured. That land which lives within all of us will be nurtured as well, too. So here we go. All right, everybody in position. I see you over there. Here we go.
I was slipping into darkness.
All right, everyone. There we go. There we go. Thank you guys so much for participating in that. Definitely could feel you. I felt the brothers doing their little march up there, going in and out of the temple. Sisters, I've seen you sitting on your throne. I definitely was sitting on mine, as all of the goddesses should be doing, sitting very, very firmly on their throne. Welcome to the remix, everyone. We're about to get ready to get into the share. Peace and greetings to everyone out there, no matter where you're listening from. We will be opening up the phone lines a little later, so let me give that number out. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Once we open up the phone lines, we're going to get ready to get into the share. We're going to be talking about the goddesses of creation and the magic of the Milky Way. This is going to be my interpretation as well, Miss Blue, of this evening. So I hope you guys enjoy. We'll be doing a live meditation at the end. We'll be doing this guided meditation that will take us straight to the Milky Way so we can get some nice jewels there. So we're going to get ready to get into the share right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
stop! It's the remix!
This is Blue Raspberry Wen, and you are live in the remix.
Hey, yeah!
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
Okay. All right. So here we go. We're going to start to talk about the share tonight. This is the one of the reasons I wanted to share this. Lots of insight came to me, and I wanted to pass this on to you guys. So again, I hope it's insightful for you as well, too. We're going to be talking about the goddesses who are actually connected with the Milky Way. We could also see that all of the goddesses are connected and the gods to the Milky Way, of course. But we're going to be talking about three of the goddesses in particular this evening. We're going to be talking about the goddess I call the goddess Tarawet. And you can spell her name many ways, as you know how that goes. But one of the ways to spell her name is T-A-W-E-R-E-T, Tarawet. We're going to be talking about the goddess Heteru, which I love that. That's one of my Kemetic names, the goddess Heteru, and as well as the goddess Aset. So those are going to be the three goddesses that we'll be focusing on and showing sort of their connection. I'm going to tell you my connection that I see, that they're actually connected with the Milky Way. And sort of what the Milky Way is and how we can begin to tap into that energy as well, too. So first, before we get ready to talk about that, I want to talk about some of these other things. When it relates to us, the planet, the universe, the cosmos, and all of the energy that's out there. Now, when we begin to look at the energy that's here, and when I say here, I'm talking a little bit further out than just the planet, the energy in the universe, the energy in the cosmos. It's kind of broken up into three different parts. And so when we begin to look at the first part, which this is actually going to be the smallest part that actually exists, the smallest part is actually going to be the Milky Way. Not the Milky Way. I'm looking in the chat room. Let me not do that. I'm going to get thrown off. Well, we're going to talk about... Wow, I can't look in the chat room. Let me get out of the chat room. My goodness. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the smallest part, which is actually matter, not the Milky Way. Scratch that. So it's actually matter. So what is matter? I matter. You are matter. The planets are matter. Stars are matter. Everything is matter. You know, your computer desk can be considered matter, you know, all of those things are matter. But more importantly, I want you to follow me here. You're matter, I'm matter, even this planet, Earth, this is matter, as well as the stars, that's matter as well. That is actually the smallest part, less than 4%, some will say, some of our scientists will say that study this. The very, very small part is matter. So if this is the smallest part, then where do the other parts come into play? You know, this is something Brother Panic kind of touched on this as well, too. Brother Panic kind of touched on this, talked a little bit about dark matter. So let's talk about dark matter. Dark matter is another one of the components that is made up as well. And dark matter actually takes up about what we would consider about 26% or less is dark matter. What does dark matter do? Dark matter attracts. This is how we pull things in. Dark matter attracts. It attracts those things. It kind of keeps those things together. It kind of pulls those things in. Dark matter really works around the gravity effect, the pulling effect. And I'm going to talk about that on an internal level a little later, but just kind of follow me there. So if we, the planet, the stars, me, you, is only 4%, and dark matter is only like 26%, then what is the rest? Where does the rest go? What is this large part of this whole everything? What is it? What is it called? That's actually what you would call dark energy. Dark energy. Now, dark energy is something that now scientists are studying more than ever. Dark energy. When you begin to look at dark energy, it is important that we study what dark energy is. Because over time, what we have found and scientists have seen is that dark energy is expanding. It's getting larger and larger and larger and larger and larger. So dark energy is just this large mass that sort of encompasses everything. So this is just getting larger and larger and larger and larger, this dark energy. So follow me with the dark energy, because the dark energy represents sort of the mystery. This is the mystery. This is truly when you get into your mystery. When you're getting into your mystery, you are really working within that energy that's called dark energy. This is how you know that your life as you know it, that you're moving forward, that you're growing, you know, that things are changing. Dark energy is what sort of separates you from those things. So we're typically inside that dark energy, trying to get that separation to go within ourselves. So we're going to come back to that and continue to talk about this dark energy and sort of how this plays a role. So now we're going to jump over here a little bit. And we're going to talk about the goddess Tarawet. Now, some of you may be familiar, very familiar, with the goddess Tarawet. Now, when we begin to think about all of the goddesses or the goddesses of creation and sort of how they're connected to the Milky Way, we're going to talk about the goddess Tarawet. We're going to talk about her because when it comes to dealing with her energy, really she goes into pre-dynastic times and what she represents. The goddess Tarawet is the goddess of fertility. She stands for fertility, childbirth, protection. And really, if we look at everything that she encompasses, she is truly creation, the goddess Tarawet. She is truly the goddess of creation. She is creation in its all of its totality. It's just all encompassed there. Really, really, really seeing this. She represents that creation. She is that creation goddess. Now, when you look at the goddess Tarawet, for those of you who have not seen her, she has something that all goddesses have. She has very full breasts. Well, we all don't have full breasts, but you know what I mean. She has very full breasts. She also has the body of a hippopotamus. She has a head of the lion. She has a lot of different things. The crocodile on her back. We're going to talk about that as well, too. And she also has a swollen belly, symbolizing those things of fertility. Now, what was interesting about the goddess Tarawet, she carried two things with her. You know, our ancient ancestors really had a way through the hieroglyphs that they would show and sort of kind of paint this picture for us. And there's actually been replicas of her, and we're going to talk about the symbology of those things. But she used to carry an ankh. We know the ankh is the divine symbol, the eternity symbol of life. And she used to also carry with her what would be considered a knife. It was a knife, but it was kind of like a wand and a knife. So she's letting you know that, hey, check this out. I am life. I am creation. But I'm also that goddess that can go to war with you, too. So when we start to look at the feminine principle, the goddess Tarawet really encompasses all of those things. Now, to kick it off, let me tell you something else that was just really bad to the bone with her. Talk about tattoos, sisters. And I know some of you sisters and brothers out there, you got some bad tattoos. But let me tell you what the goddess Tarawet used to carry with her. She used to have 7 stars going down her back. How's that? 7 stars going all the way down her back, letting you know that, check it out. Y'all are silly. Check it out. That she was that goddess, that mother goddess of creation. She was that goddess of creation. She had the 7 stars. We're going to talk about the 7 stars and what that was symbolic of for her. So now, she was a goddess who also took care of some of the pharaohs. Matter of fact, in some of the texts, she took one of the pharaohs and said, here, come suck on mama's titty. Come get some of this milk. Come get some of this divine milk. Yes. The goddess Tararet, she did that. Suckling. She was doing that, that divine milk. And we're going to talk about all of these goddesses and how that milk, which is also the milk in the Milky Way, how this comes into play. So the goddess Tarawet did that, but she wasn't just the goddess to the pharaohs and to the kings. And she didn't just serve the elite. She was the goddess of the people of ancient Kemet. This is what she was the goddess of. She was really that household goddess. You know how most of us, we grew up, we all had a big mama or a nana? Well, the goddess Tarawet, that's her. She's big mama. She's that nana. She's that gaga. She's the one. You know, that's who she was. She was the one who carried all of the anything that you needed to know in creation. She had it. You needed an answer, you wanted to know something, she got you. Yes, she got you. She got you. Whatever it is, it's going to be okay. You come to Big Mama, and we're going to work it out. That's the goddess Tarawet. Now, as this goddess, who was also a goddess to the people, she protected women, particularly those women who were pregnant. And even when we get into one of the greatest love stories, and we'll talk about some of the symbolism there with the goddess Aset, she was also the goddess that stopped Set from killing baby Heru. Big Mama stepped in and said, no, it's not going down like that. You might have chopped up his daddy, but you're not going to get him. And she protected them. So she is that goddess of protection. She is that goddess of fertility. She represents creation as we know it, not just creation here, but all of creation. The divine milk that flows through her is what set the pathways for the Milky Way. That is the energy. That is the knowledge, that is creation, that is flowing through the goddess Tarawet. So now, I want to ask a question, and you guys can kind of put a, if you're in the chat room, you can put a heart in the chat room if you want to. If you're on the telephone, just let me know. I can pick it up telepathically. You know how we do. It's the remix. But here we go. How many of you had nameplates when they came out? You know, the earrings, rocking the earrings with your name in it, or the name plate that you used to wear with the chain that had your nickname on it or your name on it. Come on now. I know I need to see more hearts than that. I know y'all, some of y'all still rocking those name plates and them rings with your names on it. You still rocking them. Or back in the day when they used to have the belt buckles and you would wear the belt buckles with your name on it or your nickname on it or what they used to call you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you guys know about the nameplates and all of this. Well, check this out. Back in ancient Egypt, back in Kemet, what the women would do, particularly those who were trying to get pregnant or those who were actually carrying child, they would wear a nameplate with the goddess Tarawet on it. That was the nameplate they was rocking. I know y'all thought y'all did something new when nameplates came out, but see, our ancestors was rocking those nameplates way back in the day. And they were wearing these nameplates with Tarawet on it, letting people know, check it out, Mama got me. She protecting me, and she is protecting my baby. She's protecting my family. She's protecting every single person in my household. Tarawet got us, the goddess of creation. They were wearing nameplates. Yes, way back. You know how we say that's a throwback? That was a way throwback. Yes. They used to have these nameplates on. Now, we're going to talk some more about that. So she used to have the nameplate, but when we get a little bit more into the mythology and we talk about the goddess Tarawet, one of the things that she was known of is she was also what you call sort of a gatekeeper or a guardian. She was a guardian of the northern skies. She protected that. She protected that northern sky because it was in those northern skies that the Milky Way was formed, where this came into the Milky Way. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Milky Way and exactly what that is, but she was that. She was known as the goddess of the horizon. Remember, she had the seven stars down her back. The seven stars down her back, which represents what we know today as the Big Dipper. You know, in some other mythology, when we begin to get into the mythology and we start to talk about our Native American culture, they see that as the bear. You understand? It can be called as the bear, but it's actually the Big Dipper or the Ursa Minor. You guys know what the Ursa Minor is. Well, that's Tarawet. That's her representing up in the sky. That's her standing at that gateway. Seven stars down her back, the seven stars, the Big Dipper, Ursa Minor. She's represented in that constellation there. That is not all of who she is, but remember, because she is all of creation. She is the one that flows that milk that goes into the Milky Way. That milk that is in the Milky Way, even when you look it up and scientists begin to explain what is the Milky Way, when we look at it, it has a milky-like substance. Now, let's talk about the Milky Way and how big that is. The Milky Way is so large, so big. You know how we say it's so, you know, I don't know if you guys called the Know Your Magic line, but there was a time that me and Sister Manya did not too long ago. We talked about big ego. Yes, Esther, the big ego. We did Beyonce's big ego, and she says, it's so wide, it's so big, it's so tough. Yes, that's the Milky Way. When you begin to think about that, yes, universal gateway of the Milky Way, it is so huge. Wow. If you can imagine our little, little galaxy. I'm going to tell you, before I started getting real heavy into this research, and I'm just going to share like a little bit of it tonight. I'm sure you guys have done your own research or will do more research on this. But when I started to get it, before this, I did not truly believe that actually people went to the moon. I thought that was some joke. You didn't go to the moon. You didn't really go to the moon. I don't know, though. I'm going to say right now, I think it's possible that you can go to the moon because going to the moon, you didn't really do nothing. Check this out, you guys. Here is what scientists say. that this little galaxy that we're in, which consists of all of these different planets that's there, you know, the sun, that wonderful moon that we love, you know, Pluto, Saturn, Jupiter, all of this is all in our one little itty bitty galaxy. Now, when we start to look at the Milky Way, they say, because this is not an actual number, but they say, and I say they, the scientists, and we know we can't believe them. But anyway, when we begin to look into the Milky Way, and you can look into it yourself, because there's enough documentation out there. They're not trying to hide this. When you begin to look into the Milky Way, they said that there is approximately, now remember what I told you the galaxy is, all of these stars, all of these planets, Pluto, Mars, Jupiter, you know, the sun, the moon, all of that is just in our one little galaxy. They say that there's approximately another 400 billion other galaxies. Did y'all hear me? Galaxies that got their own stars, that got their own moon, that got their own suns, that got their own planets, that got all of that. So, if that is the case, is it hard to believe they went to the moon? Hell no. Don't impress me. Go further than the moon. Go further than the moon. You ain't did nothing. We have not even gone into what scientists say is our local group. So if we want to talk about what a local group is, let's use New York City, because New York City doesn't really have cities. They have boroughs. So imagine that you are, let's see where you are. Let's say you are Brooklyn. And let's say you Flatbush in Brooklyn. Let's say that's you. That's your whole galaxy. Everything in Flatbush. And imagine to get to your local group, you needed to go to the Bronx. That doesn't seem like a hard task, does it? But when you encompass what we call a galaxy to be that part of Flatbush. So if somebody said you in Flatbush and you went over to Crown Heights in Brooklyn, that ain't a hard task. That's the distance like going to the moon. I can believe you went over there to Crown Heights. That's not hard to do. That's not hard to do. So I tell you guys that because if you were to take a walk on the beach and you were to reach down and just grab a handful of sand, and then I just want you to take one single little grain of sand, and then I want you to look at all of the sand on the beach that you can see and that you cannot see, and I want you to imagine that to be the Milky Way. Aha. Aha. So, if this is symbolic of what we know, then I humbly say, I don't know nothing. Absolutely nothing. I have not even begun to tap into the energy of the Milky Way. I haven't even gazed the surface of the Milky Way. So now, let's take it back to Tarawet, because the goddess Tarawet is the one who is providing that milk, that creation in the Milky Way. So now, do you see how powerful she is, the goddess Tarawet? So she is sort of that mistress of the horizon. You know, she is the northern sky. She's the one who guides or guards that northern sky. She is the feminine principle that represents this energy that's on the planet. So when we began to talk about sort of we're coming into the time of the feminine energy, oh, I beg to pardon you, but I say that it has already been here. It is a choice in your consciousness whether or not you want to embrace this. And I'm not talking about what's between your legs. I'm talking about that energy that exists between all of us, whether you be male or whether you be female. This is this feminine energy that is within all of us. So all of us, it is our birthright that we can actually taste that divine milk of the Milky Way. Because that divine milk is what is going to open up that gateway and begin to tap into that infinite knowledge, that infinite energy, that dark energy that is going to help us get into the energy of the Milky Way. So I'm going to switch it to our sisters. This is why throughout our history, throughout our culture, and throughout many other cultures, it is more than just allowing your child to suckle on your breast. You are passing on all of creation to them. So even when we begin to look at modern science and we start to talk about the benefits of breastfeeding, of nursing, don't worry, brothers, I'm not going to leave you out. I'm not going to leave you out. But this is why it's important that when you have this knowledge, when you have this information and you're in the position and you have a baby, that nursing is so important because you're not just passing on nutrients, which nutrients are important, don't get me wrong, but you are passing on that divine milk, the milk of creation, that DNA, all that exists before you, that exists now, and that exists in the future, onto your child. The key is the knowledge has to be activated within you. Just like when we talk about, yes, we're moving into this time, we're moving into this time where it's feminine energy. No, feminine energy has always been here. Tara Wett has always been at that gateway. She's always been that guardian there. She's always been there. She has never left. It was the choice in consciousness on how you seen the feminine principle. So I ask you, with yourself, when we talk about that feminine principle, it is about receiving. It's about receiving that energy. It's about creating. It's about being into that energy of creation. And at this time, if there's no other time on the planet, what I have learned from my research is now is the time to create. This is it. So the goddess Tara Wett, being here, being this point of creation, that feminine principle that is there. She is there not only for sisters, but also there for brothers. She is there for our families. She has been there for our ancestors and all of those who have come out of the waters of noon. She's there, the gateway goddess, guarding that particular side of the sky, guarding it. Why guarding? Why that term of guarding? That term of guarding is just really a loosely term, but I want you to look at it like this, that it takes time, it takes creation to be able to get to a certain point where you can begin to recognize the Milky Way when you tap into that energy, when you begin to get yourself into that place where you're tapping into that inner knowledge, what we are calling dark energy. It is to go within. It is through darkness that we get the light. And we're going to be talking about the goddesses that contribute to the light. So on a physical level, being able to recognize the energy of the Milky Way, being able to represent or recognize that symbol of the breast, being able to represent that symbol of passing on the DNA, passing on that knowledge, that wisdom, that creation to our children, to our families, to our men. This has a lot to do with feminine energy. Also, back in ancient times, in the British Museum, and you probably can Google this online. I apologize for not giving this information, but you can Google it. And you could actually see statues of Tarawet that they have. And inside that statue, where her breast nipples were, there's holes in there. There is holes. Because during rituals, what they would do is actually pour milk-like substance in there and use it for rituals. So the pouring out, the spilling over of the breast, the milk, the divine milk of creation, was very, very powerful. Understanding, recognizing as above, so below, that this is it. So if all of the gods and the goddesses live within us, then Tarawet lives within you. That divine milk is flowing through you. That divine milk is flowing through you. So the goddess Tarawet, let's talk about some of her attributes. And one of those attributes we're going to talk about is that she also was, you know, she used to represent the hippopotamus. Now, the hippopotamus, when you begin to think, you say, well, this is the goddess. She had this big body, and she had these hips, and she had these large breasts. She had the seven stars going down her back. Well, she was the hippopotamus. Now, the hippopotamus has some very, very interesting behavior. We'll talk about the mythology of it, but I want you to follow me here. The hippopotamus typically spends its nights on land, roams the land. In the mythology, this is when Tarawet would take out that wand that was also a knife, and she would roam the land at night, protecting those women, those families, those mothers, protecting. So she would roam at night. And in the daytime, what she would do, when the sun was about to just come up, Tarawet, just like the hippo, would go and get into the water. Into the water. So when the sun would come up, most of the time hippos are asleep in the daytime in the water. They tread in the water in the daytime. That's when they rest. And so what does this mimic in your life? Very active at night and very dormant during the sunlight. This is melanin. This is melanin. So Tarawet and melanin and the hippo both follow that all of the same patterns. Melanin is very active at night, very much alive. I do some of my best work during my melanin hours, even though I know I need to be asleep. And sometimes I'm working a lot and I am asleep. I'm just in other places. You know what I mean. But the hippo, very active at night, just like during the daytime, it goes in almost a dormant state, you see. But she don't forget, because even hippos, during the daytime, they can be asleep and have their babies playing around them. But I bet you, anybody come near one of their babies, just like melanin knows how to jump into action, so does the hippo. The hippo will jump into action, and it's one of the most fierce animals when it comes to protecting their young. So, yes, Tarawet, the goddess, the guardian, she was there, the protector. Yes, a ride or die chick. That's what she was, and that's what she is. She is the ride-or-die chick, activating really that night. Melanin active, moving around, doing what she needed to do, and in the daytime, resting, showing you the pattern, because a lot of our mythology, a lot of our history, our culture, when it comes to from ancient Kemet and our ancestors, mimic those things of nature. The gods in nature, one, understanding it. So for you to understand that symbology, that's where it comes from. Also, the crocodile on her back. You think about a crocodile, you think about how fierce a crocodile was. That crocodile sort of kind of leaning over her back, and some of the mythologies that will tell you that she was connected to the god Sobek. That crocodile letting you know, I'm carrying this. How many of you had that big mama in your family that was carrying the whole family? That was carrying the family. You brothers, how many of your mamas have been carrying you? Have been taking you with you? Not because you can't walk, not because you're not strong, but showing that support. She also had those attributes of a lion. These were all animals, when we begin to think about them, how fierce they are when it comes to protection, when it comes to their loved ones, when it comes to their young, and also when it comes to people that they fear. Seven stars down her back, the goddess Tarawet. Some of you have those beautiful tattoos all over your body. But check it out. Tarawet was carrying the seven stars, letting you know that she was connected with both the land and the skies. She was connected. She was the as above and so below. She was all of that. And she is all of that. She is the above and below. She is connected on the land and she's connected in the sky. So we're going to come back to the goddess Tarawet, like I said, because we're going to be doing sort of that meditation with her and really understanding sort of that role as she gets herself into the Milky Way. So next, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the goddess Heru. We're going to talk about the goddess Heru. Now, most of us know the goddess Heru. She is that goddess of love and music and song and dance. And she's that goddess, you know, Heru. You know, I love the goddess Heru. Really, I carry a lot of her dominant energy, as most of our sisters do as well. It is the Kemetic name that was given to me as well, so I cherish that as well. And as I begin to get more into her story, the goddess Heru, and understand about the goddess Heru and all the different roles that she plays. Again, the goddess of happiness, the goddess of dance and music. She was a protector of women as well. She also was a protector of pregnant women, associated with the cow as well, for a lot of the nurturing and the loving and the energy. All of that energy when you come, that energy that we call Kundalini, that sexual energy, all of that energy comes out of the goddess Heru, or Hathor, as her name is also seen as well. Now, she plays a very, very significant role when it comes to a lot of different things as well, too. Now, the goddess Hathor, when we think about the goddess Tarawet being that goddess of creation, she is the goddess that gives the creation to the Milky Way, understanding that vastness of that. The goddess Heru, she is that power. She is the movement that you see in the Milky Way. She is that movement. When scientists begin to think about what forms up a galaxy, it's a couple of things that they say has to be present in order for this to be considered sort of a galaxy of any kind of sort, constellation, or anything. It has to be, one, it has to have mass. not a mass as in a mass meaning it's limited, but mass as in it has some depth to it. We talked about the three things. We talked about matter. We talked about dark matter, and we talked about energy, dark energy. So it has to have those components, which would be the mass. It also had to have a charge. So Heteru is represented as this charge. She is the movement in the Milky Way. The other thing that has to come into play is the spin. And we're going to talk about that spin when we get to the goddess Aset. But this is where the goddess Heteru, she is that mass. She is that charge, that power, that passion that is in there. She causes the movement to go on. The movement. It is the movement. So it is the movement that goes on. It has a lot to do with that movement. Now, significant when it comes to the goddess Heteru, even though she's associated with those things, she's also, and you'll find that all of these goddesses has a tie when it comes back dealing with these things of seven. The goddess Heteru is also associated with the seven levels of creation, seven levels of consciousness, the seven goddesses. We're going to talk about that. The seven tones in the universe. She is that tone that makes that sound that comes into the universe that we hear. That's the goddess Heteru. She's making that noise, that sound. Back in ancient times, the seven... Let me get out the chat room. But back in ancient times, the goddess Heteru, you would often find her on mirrors, her likeness on mirrors. You would also find it. You would find it on makeup. You know, the women would have the goddess makeup and everything around that. You would find sort of that coalition. You would find that of the goddess Heteru. She would be there as well, too. Heteru, the goddess of love. She is the goddess of movement. You know, she is the goddess of movement. So typically, if we looked at this and we begin to see that, she is really what we would call that life force energy moving. Some we would say Kundalini energy, or just that energy that's moving within you. Now, inside the Temple of Demra, and we talked about that at the beginning of the show, where that statue of the goddess Heteru was there with the gem inside the top of her forehead, and when the star Sirius would shine on that statue, that's when the priest would know that it was time for the seasons to change and this was the new year. But also what would happen as it relates to childbirth, because she's also another goddess very much associated with childbirth and pregnancy and women as well. So this goes a lot to do with the creation. What would happen typically when a baby was born? And I'll go back to my point, is that the seven goddesses of Heteru, or the seven mistresses, they would call them, would show up once the child was born. And what she would do is she actually would give the baby a reading. They would give the baby a reading. They would tell what the baby's purpose was, that they came to the planet, tell what things would go on in their lives, would give the parents insight about what was happening to them, and really do a full oracle reading right there on the baby with the parents. And the parents would bring in the gifts, and they would give the gifts to the babies, crystal. They would give all kinds of gifts to their children. So this is also the same thing. Some of you have had the baby lotus reading. The baby lotus readings that I did, this is the same thing that went on in ancient times. In fact, when you go, if you ever get a chance to go to ancient Kemet and go into the temple of Demra, and look up in the ceiling where you see sort of what we now call the constellation, when you look up in the top, who is in the middle, the very, very center. And Gerald Massey talked about this in one of his books. But if you look in the very, very center and you look at this, if you look at the constellations and everything that is up there, what you would see, that who would be dead center, is the goddess Tarawet, showing you that she gave birth to all of that. That is the creation that came out of that. So all of those things that we want to clump together and call it astrology, numerology, all of that, but all of that was encompassed into what we called oracle readings. So that's where the great oracles came out of ancient Kemet, and that's what they would do when babies were born. The seven heterus, as they would call them, would come together, and they would actually begin to tell the story of the baby's life. So even when I sort of kind of spirit told me, I want you to start doing readings for babies, and I don't want you to base it on this Western society and what we call astrology today, because we know that those charts are all mixed up. We know that. I think there is some real science there, but those charts are really mixed up. So the way that Spirit actually gave me that, and to begin to do what I now call the baby lotus reading, it did my heart joy to know that this was something that the goddess Heteru would do when babies were born in ancient Kemet. They would go to the parents, and they would give a baby lotus reading to the babies. So then there was no question about what you came here to do. In fact, in some of the myths, they talked about if this was to happen with some of the Pharaoh's children and they recognized that this was not such a good seed, they would switch that baby out with somebody else. Now, they would switch that baby out. Say, this one right here is going to be a little bit of a challenge for you. That could happen, you know? But it is important as parents, and for those of you who are parents, to really begin to understand these things as our ancestors did them and really begin to work with that. This is also where a lot of the naming ceremonies came into play, because based upon the energy that you brought to the planet, this is sort of how the goddess would tell you what sort of priesthood you would be under, what sort of things that you would be doing, and what would go on with you. It would give you insight into your life. So these things are very, very important, very important, not only for your babies, but also for ourselves, as well. So the goddess Heteru is that movement that's there. She is the one that gave the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do, or do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, the sounds of the universe. She's the one that gave the tonality to the planet. She lined them up. Those seven also stands for those seven planets that are connected with us as well. The seven sounds of the universe, or the seven tones in the musical scale. The seven colors in the rainbow, you know, representing those things on this, the seven levels. You understand? The seven levels of existence when we start to think about them. The physical plane being the lowest. So again, these goddesses have always been in their rightful place with the connection between what is on land and also what is in the sky. They've always been in the sky. It hasn't been until very, very early in history that they tried to take the goddess out of the sky, throw her in the land, and put God up in the sky. We know that. That's an old story. So sometimes for me, I understand that we can also look at Mother Earth as being Mother Earth, but when we go back and we look at it from this particular way, I want you to see the duality here, because the goddess Nut was the sky goddess, and the goddess Geb was the earth. So typically these goddesses are in the sky. These are the goddesses. These are the ones that is the Alpha and the Omega. This is the beginning and this is the end, represented in that feminine principle. So don't get confused by what's between your legs when we're talking about feminine principle. because this encompasses all of us. We have both feminine energy and masculine energy. We have both Tefnut and we have both Shu. We have both Yang and we have both Yang. So understanding it from that position. So this is another connection. And also the goddess, when we begin to talk about the goddess Heteru, she is very much connected with the cow. When you see her headdress, it is of the horn and the sun representing the cow, representing that nurturing, representing that divine milk, letting you know that she is tapped into that energy, letting you know that that milk, that divine milk, is flowing through her as well. That's what you want to tap into. You want to tap into the energy of Heteru. You want to tap into that movement, the movement of the milk, the movement of the energy in the Milky Way. So we're going to continue on and talk a little bit more about Heteru. Heteru is also the goddess. They call her the House of Heru. And one of the reasons because of that, when they say the House of Heru, you know, the god Heru, because that was seen in some of the mythologies as her consort. And so in ancient Kemetic times, when a man became settled, you see, it was said that he was sort of kind of housed in by the goddess. So the House of Heru encompasses that. But she was also known as the House of Light or the Goddess of Light. So the goddess Heteru, the goddess of light, she also represents that light. So she brings that light and that movement into the Milky Way energy. She brings a lot of that light and that movement. So now we've gone through Tarawet. And we've also, now we're talking about Heteru. So when we start to think about the symbolism of the cow, it's more for the nurturing. It has a lot to do with nurturing energy, but it also has you tapping into sort of that higher level of your consciousness when you begin to see that. That is the passing on of the DNA. You know, even when we begin to talk about this, when we say, you know, the land of milk and honey, you hear that. The milk is always going to play a role in that. Milk and honey, you know, you're going to know that that milk, that melanin, that DNA, all of those things in the Akashic record. So it is important to understand the role that that nurturing plays in your life. Again, when we're talking about sisters, it is very important that you take this time, if you have a child, to get that nurturing bond first, to activate that milk within yourself, to activate that dark energy within you, to go within. And we'll get more into the go within in a minute when we get to the goddess of Set, but understanding all of that that is encompassed into creation. So that has a lot to do with that. So now we're going to move on because it looks like time is kind of getting away from us. We only have like an hour and 37 minutes. And I do want to have us continue to move on and talk about the goddess Aset. Before we talk about the goddess Aset, I want to put this in there and really begin to talk about the goddess Heteru also. And I want to tell you guys about a story. If you haven't had a chance to get this particular book, I think it's a great one. If you have children, I think it's excellent for them, and it's also going to be great for you. So the goddess who tapping into that divine energy, understanding this is where the oracle comes into play and how she played the role in the temple, and also that nurturing, also understanding about the cow energy and the flow of the milk, and really connecting herself with mothers and childbirth. Often you will see on the hieroglyphs, you will see the goddess Heteru present at many of the births. Tarawet was also present at many of the births. Matter of fact, it is said that when the Pharaoh when one of the pharaohs, when she was actually born, you'll see the statue of the Tarawet. You'll see the statue of Tarawet next to her when she was giving birth as well too. So think about the Temple of Dimra up in the top where you see the constellation. In that constellation, inside the house of Heteru, inside her temple, because she is the one who gave birth to all of this, you see very much in the center. She's not one of the zodiac signs or what we would call zodiacs today. She doesn't represent that, but she is in the center. She is in the dead center of it. So now I want to take you guys to a story. And I don't know when this story came out. It may have came out last year. And some of you may have known this story. But it was a book that was actually written by President Obama's sister. And it's called Ladder to the Moon. Ladder to the Moon. Real interesting story. And it has a lot to do with this energy, this Tarawet energy, and the goddesses of creation that is connected to the Milky Way. And in this particular story, this is an excellent book. When it came out, it just kind of grabbed my attention. It is a story about President Obama. It's about his mama. His sister wrote it. I'm not going to read the whole story, but I'm going to tell you some key points in this story, and just so you can see how this flow goes. And this will tie back in when we continue to go a little later. But in this particular book called Ladder to the Moon, and you can buy it online, you can buy it as well, too. What happens is it's the story of, like I said, President Obama's sister, and her name is spelled Maya, M-Y-A, and the last name is Soetoro-Ng. This story is a story that she wrote for her daughters in this particular book. One of her daughters wanted to understand, she didn't get a chance to meet her grandmother, and she wanted to meet her grandmother. She really wanted to know what her grandmother was like. And so when her mother describes her grandmother to her, these are the words that she looks, and she asks her grandmother, she said, "What was Grandma Annie like?" And incidentally, my great-great-grandmother, who was actually 109 when she made her transition, her name was Annie as well, too. So I thought that was really cool when my attention sort of kind of got drawn to this book about a year ago. Her mother describes her, and she said, you know, Grandma Annie was like the moon. She was full, she was soft, and she was curious. Full, soft, and curious. This is how she described her mother. And us as women, we can really see how we are connected to the of the moon, being very full, that creation part, that milk part, you know, being very soft, sort of that loving energy that really comes out of that movement of the goddess Heteru. And then the curiosity part that comes into play with us as well, that can also be seen with a lot of the energy that comes with the goddess Offset. So she describes that to her. Well, later that night, the little girl is resting. And what happens is she looks outside of her bedroom window, and she sees this gold ladder, and she sees this woman climbing down the ladder. And she recognized the woman to be her grandmother. Her grandmother tells her, "Come on, I want to take you to the moon. I want to take you with me up to the moon. I want to take you with me to the moon." So she gets on this ladder and she begins to climb this ladder with her grandmother. And what she hears is she begins to hear these silver bangles that's on her grandmother's arm. That's the sound. That's the tones of the universe. She hears these symbols. Once they get to the moon and they're sitting on the moon, she says how her grandmother begins to sort of kind of get wider and wider. That's that dark energy that now our scientists are saying that this, what we call now dark energy, keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. That keeps growing and growing and growing, you know? That is that dark matter that keeps growing. So her grandmother becomes very huge, and then she wraps her arms around the little girl. And she sort of kind of takes her in, as Big Mama does. You know, that's kind of how Big Mama does. So she tells her grandmother, she says, now what? You know, we're up here, we're on the moon, now what? What are we going to do now? What's going to happen now? And her grandmother says, listen, listen, just listen. So she begins to listen. And the little girl says, as she began to listen, what happens is she starts to realize that she knows more than she already knew. She starts to learn. So this is symbolic when it comes to us, listening to that inner voice that's within all of us. You know, really being able to go within and listen. So as the story goes on, I don't want to spoil it for everyone, but they talk about the water. And the grandmother says, I can tell that something's about to happen. You know, I could tell that something is stirring up. I know that something else is going on. And so she tells her grandmother, she says, you know, I can tell too. And then things begin to happen. They also talk about how these other two sisters who are joining them. Now, keep in mind, these are all the people who are making their transition from all over the world. So the grandmother is sort of kind of taking her into the underworld, sort of kind of taking her on that journey through the underworld. Now, going back to the goddess Tarawet, the goddess Tarawet, also in the Book of Coming Forth by Day, otherwise known as the Book of the Dead, also how she ushers in that energy of those into the underworld as well. So, again, playing sort of this role of the triple goddess, which I think that every single one of us, we're all triple goddesses in our energy. And so she talks about how these two sisters are there, and they begin to open up their mouth, and they stick out their tongue. So this kind of goes back to, yes, Rich, it kind of goes back to sort of when I told you guys I'll have that book that's coming on that says mouth closed, legs open. But these sisters open up their mouths, not to speak, not to say what they think, but they open up their mouth and they begin to let the rain touch on their face and also on their tongues. They stick out their tongues and they begin to just listen. They begin to just bathe and they begin to drink. They begin to drink. They begin to drink. And someone asked the question, what is the underworld? The underworld can be so many things. It can be that place that we go within, like I said. The underworld can be you making that transition from this life into another realm. The underworld is a lot of different things, but the underworld is about you going within. It is not you going on top. So just think of going under as opposed to going on top. So that's what the underworld is. So once these young ladies stick out their tongue and the rain begins to fall down, then what happens is the little girl that's with her grandmother and these two other girls begin to say, wow, I'm stronger than I was before. So let's look at this symbology when it comes to our babies. When we begin to nurse our babies, they become stronger. They become much stronger. Matter of fact, there is a lot of supporting evidence and facts that state that children who are nursed are much more stronger. They're much more agile. They learn faster than those children who are not. Those children that taste the milk. Especially when the milk has been activated, because the key is not just to nurse. I think there are some benefits in just taking out your breast and propping it in your baby's mouth. It is a lot of bonding that goes on with that. I nursed my baby, so I recognize that. It is a lot of things that is there. But the key is to activate that nursing, that milk within yourself. It is to activate it from within. This is where you get the greatness out of this. So this story goes on and on and on. They talk about weaving webs. They talk about people from all over, from different backgrounds, climbing up on the golden ladder. They talk about all of the different things. They talk about the young and the old. This is really, really a great story, not only for yourselves, but also to share with your children, really getting into that energy of understanding that of the Milky Way and understanding those things of as above, so below. So, ladders to the moon, ladder to the moon, I recommend it. Excellent, excellent read, excellent share. If you don't have the book, you can get it. You can probably buy it as a used book now. Like I said, I think it came out about a year or so ago. I think that's when I got mine. My daughter, often Baby Blue, she reads that book to me. I read it to her. We talk about sort of the symbols and the signs in there. Lots of great information in there. So I wanted to throw that in there while we were talking about the goddess Heteru. So now we're going to move on. So we've talked about the creation, which is the goddess Tarawet. And then we went on to talk about Heteru, which is the power behind creation, also the passion behind creation. And so now it's going to bring us to the other goddess that is connected with this, and also when we talked about earlier, known as also the star of Aset, that's in the sky, another name for the Sirius star. This is the goddess Aset in wisdom. Now, I was speaking with a brother, and we were talking about this story a while ago, and one of the things that he said, and I sat back and I thought about it, and I couldn't help but agree. When he told me, he said, you know, this is the greatest love story ever told. And I would agree. The story of Aset and the story of Asar. So we're not going to talk about the whole creation story, but we're going to talk about bits and pieces of it because it's going to be very relevant here in how this sort of connects with the Milky Way energy. And then we're actually going to get ready to go into the meditation where we're actually going to take a ride on the Milky Way. And then I'm going to open up the form. And if you guys have some things that you want to share, we're going to share those as well, too. So we're going to go. Again, this is some of the things that I came up with. So hopefully you guys are enjoying this share as well and finding it to be helpful and some useful information as well. So let's talk about the goddess Aset. Now, the goddess Aset, when it comes to a bad goddess, she's another one that really just sort of kind of sits up on that throne of being bad to the bone. Because she, the goddess Aset, is she plays out this role on earth like no other goddess. Sorry. Like no other goddess. So the goddess Aset, we're going to actually come into the point. We're going to come into the point with the goddess Aset inside the story where she's actually getting ready to go retrieve Asar out of the tree. You guys? Okay, so you guys know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? You know that part of the story. If you don't know, I'll kind of get you up to I'll kind of bring you up to speed here. Okay, so I want you to imagine this scenery. I'm not going to go into the whole story. I want you to read it if you have not studied this story. I thought I knew this story, but I only knew the components of it when I went back, and I can promise you this, when you see your own personal growth and you see the things that you've been working on and you go back and you study these myths, and you begin to start to look at them, you will know, you will see them in a completely different light, a completely different light. It was an amazing story, a wonderful love story when I first read it, but it just came to light to me in a whole different way. So now, here we go. The goddess Aset, as she stays true to her Kemetic name, are also known as Isis and Osar. But we're going to stay true to their Kemetic names tonight. Okay, so now the goddess Aset, she's looking for her husband. She's looking for him. She's searching and she's looking. she discovers, she finds him. But in the place that she finds him, she just can't go take him. You understand? Because he's actually a pillar that is holding up this house or this temple. So she can't just go in there and take him. So she's thinking. You understand? This is the activation of the wisdom. Thinking, how can I go get him? How can I get him out of there? And she takes her nephew with her, not to mention her nephew, who is also her, what would he be to her? You guys know how the story goes. Her husband slept with her sister, had her son. And in some of the myths, you know, her son, anyway, she has her nephew with her and she's traveling, which is also her son's child. And she says, hey, I'm going to go find him. So she's looking for him. She finds him in the tree. So she knows she can't go get him. So she sees the handmaidens of the queen and the king. This is on their land. She sees the handmaidens working out in the yard. They're working out in the yard. So she goes up to them. She doesn't tell them who she is. She doesn't tell them who she is because that would just spoil it right there. You know, because remember, she's a god. She doesn't tell them who she is. So what she does is she goes over to them and she starts talking to them. And she says, hey, how's everybody doing? You know, y'all doing all right? How y'all doing? How y'all doing? Everybody doing good? Oh, you sisters are so lovely. Wow. Let me help you guys. Oh, let me help you. So she goes over and she's helping them with, you know, picking, working in the fields. And then she says, you know what else? I have some really lovely scents for you guys. Why don't you let me, why don't you smell this? So she's letting them smell the scents. They're smelling the scents. And she's, oh, you know what? Your hair would look so pretty if we kind of pinned it up like this and put a little braid over here like this and put a little flower right there and kind of jazz you up. And, you know, some of the handmaidens are like, oh, my goodness, I smell so nice and, oh, my hair is so pretty. So she fixes them all up. And they get ready to go back in the house. So the queen says, oh, you guys smell so nice. And your hair looks so pretty. What happened? And all of a sudden, one of the handmaidens says, The lady came and she did our hair and she braided our hair and she gave us some essential oils and put a flower in our hair. She's a really sweet lady, just really nice, and she was just kind of passing through. So the queen said, well, I want to meet her. So she goes over to her. The queen goes over to her, and she doesn't know. This really shows, and I want you guys to see this, both men and women, both men and women, both men and women, she goes over to them and she says, but this is something symbolic. Let me stay on focus here. Both men and women. And she says, do you want to come work for me? She says, do you want to come work for me? So, now, keep in mind, this is when the goddess Aset can really pop her collar and say to her, check it out, I'm the goddess, and I need to go get my husband out that tree. She don't really have to go through all of this riffraff, but she really kind of begins to humble herself, like some of us need to do, should do, humble ourselves, and not just come off so boastful. You know, in that way, she really begins to humble herself. And she says, hold on a second, you guys. Somebody doesn't want to be here. So I need to help them leave real quick. So she says to them, she says, sure, you want me to come work for you? And she says, yes. I want you to come and be our nanny. Humble. She humbled herself. She didn't say, I'm the goddess. and this is what I need to do, and you better treat me this certain kind of way, and don't you recognize who I am, she begins to humble herself, and she tells them, okay, I'll come work for you. She comes in, and she starts to work for them. And so all of a sudden, the queen hands her the baby and says, will you nurse my baby? Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this particular thing. She's asking the goddess Offset, who husband, to her knowledge at this particular time, is, hold on a second. She asked her husband, she knows that her husband at this particular time, or she believes her husband at this particular time, it has been murdered. So imagine the distraction. Imagine the distraction going on in her mind, because her mission of what she came there was to get her husband. Now, here comes this woman asking her not only to come be her nanny, keep in mind she is the goddess, but she's also asking her, do you want to nurse my baby? Do you want to take little, I don't even know, give the baby a name, but do you want to take my baby and let him suck on your titty and nurse him? This is what they would call in ancient Kemet. They would call them wet nurse. They would actually begin to nurse others' babies. So that shows power. And so many times as us, as women, as men, how many times have we been asked to be put in that same position? Just look at this right here. To take care of something or someone else's child that's not even our own. Could you do it? Could you, at that moment, knowing that possibly the person you love, the person you were with, could be dead, and your job was to try to go get them and bring them back to life? Could you focus enough to say, humble yourself enough to say, let me swallow my tongue. Let me not only think about myself, because this is truly what that energy of the divine feminine is about. It's about nurturing. It's about love. It's about loving so much that you can move outside of yourself and still love. Sometimes all of this going within, going within, going within, we miss those things around us that is also a part of who we are, because it is our reflection. So we can't discount those things that are outside of ourselves either, because if we're going to say we are a reflection of our reality, then our reality is also a reflection of us. So let's follow this story as she continues on. So she's nursing this baby, and all of a sudden she decides that she's going to give the queen a gift. And the gift she's going to give to the queen is that she's going to make her baby immortal. So what she does is she takes the baby and she puts fire around the baby. She takes the fire and she puts it all around the baby. And what she does, she thinks, because here comes the wisdom again. Remember, Offset is that wisdom. She's, Now, how can I keep this baby? This is the gift. I want to give them a gift, you know, for letting me come in their house and allowing me to nurse their baby, to pass on this divine wisdom. And, let me not forget, I got my nephew, who is actually the child that my husband had with my sister with me, and then I got my husband in a tree. I need to go get him so I can raise him back up. By the way, I got to look out for my brother-in-law because he's trying to kill his ass. That's a lot going on. I don't know about y'all, but that's a whole lot going on. That's a lot going on. So she thinks and she says, you know what? I'm going to turn myself into a swallow. Now, some of you who have been working with me on the Blue Blast calls, we actually did one of those Blue Blast calls where we actually worked with totems, and some came up with swallows and different things like that. But a swallow is a bird. She actually turned herself into a swallow. So she could fly around the property, around the king and the queen, and she could actually look and see how she was going to mastermind sort of this plan to get her husband out of this pillar, out of this tree. We know the tree is symbolic in many, many of our different stories. The tree of life, we know what that is symbolic of. Okay. So anyway, the queen comes in, sees the baby in the fire, and starts to panic because she doesn't understand. So she snatches the baby out the fire. So now the goddess Aset is kind of forced. She got to tell who she really is. She got to tell. She got to reveal herself now. Because the queen is trying to figure out who the hell is this bird flying around. And why do you have my damn baby in the fire? What you trying to do to him? Much like many of us tries to do with our friends, with our families, and with others. We try to do this. We try to help them, or what we think is help. We try to give them, but they don't understand. So the queen was trying to purify the baby, to make the baby a god. You understand? She was trying to make the baby a god, raise him from this mortal level, raise him up to be a god. Now, follow me here. I don't want to go too far into this story and take this off, but I'm going to share with you guys my interpretation of this. Because how many times have we tried to raise up something, whether it been our man, our children, our women, people around us that did not understand our intentions? The goddess Aset was not trying to harm the baby. She was purifying the baby, raising him up to be a god. And here comes the mama and snatches him, much like a lot of sisters, and I got to talk about the sisters right now. I'll talk about you brothers in a minute, but I got to talk about the sisters, much like you sisters do. Some of you are single parents. I know what that feels like. And you get this brother that comes in your life, and he's trying to help you raise a god. But you snatch your baby back. And you say, no, you can't discipline him. You can't say nothing to him. Because you are not the baby's father. Matters not that the baby father is locked up in prison somewhere. Or maybe just choosing not to be in that child's life. Doesn't matter. You will step in and you will stop that purification from going on because you don't understand. You see, you don't understand that this is when the goddess Aset, she was purifying the baby, much like a lot of brothers who come into your life and helping you to purify your children, to raise them up to be gods and goddesses. You snatch them back. You don't allow it to happen. And now, for you brothers, many times you come into the picture and you're dealing with this woman and she's working with other sisters and she's trying to get herself together, and then you decide, no, I don't want you hanging out with that person, and I don't want you to hang out with that person, and I don't want you talking to her. You snatch her back. You stop the purification. You don't want it to go on because you don't understand that this is how we get to the level of becoming the gods and the goddesses. Nobody gets there by themselves. Nobody. So, I think you guys understand the point. So anyway, the mother snatched the baby back, snatches the baby back. No, what are you doing? Who are you, crazy woman? So the goddess Aset says, okay, let me tell you who I am. My name is Aset. She breaks down the whole story, tells him who she really is. the queen is like in shock, like, oh my God, I had a goddess in my house. And I asked her to nurse my baby. I didn't realize that she was this goddess. I just thought she was just some chick on the street that I could get to come work for me. How many times have we have misjudged the person who was before us, to consider them less than who they were? Consider them to be nothing because they didn't know what we knew. Consider them to not be the person because they didn't know the same things that we knew. How many times have we looked down on somebody and misjudged them based upon what we thought they were and based upon what we thought they was not doing? How many times have we began to take what was inside of us and try to make that every single reflection that we've seen? One of the things that is key about our ancestors and the goddesses, they never looked at things just one way. Never. So even this story that I'm telling you can be seen from so many different angles. Tonight, what I'm sharing with you is how I interpret this story. You'll have your own interpretation of it. But this is how I see this. You see, they misjudged her. The queen did. The queen thought because of her position of where she was, and she wasn't a bad person, she misjudged her because she didn't see certain things. They didn't say certain words. They couldn't understand certain languages. They didn't do things exactly how we did them. So therefore, and many of us are judging our family members, whether they be Christian, Muslim, come from the nation of Islam, or if they are Buddhist, or if they just have no sort of spirituality with all, we get to tell them that they're dead. How dare you? How dare you tell them that? How dare you judge them? How dare you make them a peasant? You never know where your insight and where your learning is going to come from. So you can learn from anything and anyone. But so many people, and we say this and we see this in the conscious community, judge. Oh, because you're talking about this on your show, and because you're doing this on this show, and oh, this is connected to my pain and what I went through, so therefore I don't want nothing to do with you. We judge. Not recognizing that that could be the God or be the goddess there that could one day help you on your path and your journey. So I send that message to myself as well. So now, anyway, so she tells them who they are. She tells them who they are. You know, I'm the goddess of Set. This is my story. So you know what the queen says? The queen says, check it out. Go get your husband. I don't care if it is holding up our whole house. Just take him out of that tree. Take him. Go get him. So she gets her husband. She goes back. She takes him. Once she gets her husband and goes back, oh, Set is furious. So this time, when he finds his ass, he chops him up in 14 pieces. Now, the story goes on, you understand, and it's many different versions of this myth. Again, I'm just going to tell you my story. So he chops him up again, spreads him all over in 14 pieces. Basically what he's telling his woman, okay, you really want him, go, let's see if you can put his ass back together now. These 14 pieces of Asar, or Asar, yes, that you see spread out. These are our pieces that are spread out everywhere. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to pull ourselves back to damn together. We're trying to bring ourselves back together again. That's what you're doing. You're trying to bring yourself together. You're trying to find your damn 14 pieces. But here's the key. See, the goddess Aset, again, she exemplifies that wisdom because she knew she couldn't do it by herself. So she went and grabbed her sister. Now, I'm going to speak to the sisters for a minute. I'm going to speak to the sister. Some of you are out here and you're hurting. You're hurting. You know you need help. You know it. But you won't reach out. You won't go to the next sister and get help. You won't do that. You won't do that. You won't humble yourself enough to say, let me go to my sister and let me ask my sister for some help. You won't do it. You will not do it. You'll try to go find a brother to help you. And brothers, I love you all, but all of you that are listening are not like all the brothers out there. Because see, one thing about a man's energy is that a man can see a weak, frail, hurt, distraught woman from a mile away. He is keen on being able to spot dark energy. That space, that gap, oh, he can see that from a mile away. So, again, sisters, you'll pass a sister. Sister, ask you, hey, sister, just wanted to ask you, how's everything? Oh, everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Everything is okay. I'm wonderful. My life is great, and I am wonderful. You won't go to the sister. You'll go over there to the brother. Oh, I had a dream about you last night. And, huh, you came in my dreams, and you know, we was together, and you was hugging me, and you was loving me, and you was kissing me, and you was holding me. And the brothers say, really? Yes, yes, and I just want to ask you one question. I just want to ask you a question, and I know you can help me with this question. Can't nobody else help me with this question, but I know you can. I know you can, Big Daddy. I know you can answer this. So the brothers say, okay, well, what's the question? How do I find peace of mind? So the brother says, grab my hand, sweetie, and stay real close to Daddy, because Daddy's going to show you how to get peace of mind. And not that there's not some great brothers out there that can teach you this, because some of my greatest teachers have come from the brothers. I've learned a whole lot from my sisters as well, but I've had some great brothers as teachers. So you brothers know who I'm talking about. So the sister goes running over there to the brother. The brother says, you do this, and you do that, and you do this, and you do that, and you do this, and you're going to be all right. Ah! Thank you, brother. So the sister comes up to the other sister and says, hey, you know, I notice your vibe is a little different. You know, got a little twist in your walk. You got a little shake in your little step there. You know, your hair is flowing a little extra nice. You're smiling a little bright. She says, ah, because this brother just helped me out. This brother just really helped me out. This brother just showed me everything that I needed. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm so glad that brother helped you out. Yes. Oh, you don't know. He changed my life. And truth be told, I don't know about you sisters, but nobody can change my life like a good brother. So I'm feeling you. I can understand that. That's who's supposed to change your life, a good brother. But the key is the brother is supposed to have good intentions, and so are you. So here's where the story gets a little twisted. What the sister don't know is that this brother has made it his mission in life to help all of the sisters who have lost their way. It's not just you. You ain't special. It's a whole lot of you out there. You ain't special. I'm not helping you shake your hips a little extra today. I'm helping a whole lot of people shake their hips. You ain't the only one. So then what happens is that the sister ends up more damaged than before. Why am I telling you this? She ends up more damaged than she started out, because now when she comes at this brother, why are you over here talking to this sister? And why are you acting like this? And the brother says, hey, slow down. slow down. You asked me to help you. You asked me some questions. I gave you some answers. Yeah, I gave you a little bit more than some answers. I helped you out. Aren't you swinging your hips nice and soft? Aren't you smiling to your girlfriends? Aren't you having a good time? Isn't that what you wanted? I gave you what you wanted. So the sister says, well, we going to be together, right? And the brother say, no, we ain't going to be together. Where you get that from? Who told you that lie? Somebody told you we were supposed to be together? We're not supposed to be together. I helped you. You helped me. We even. I helped you. You helped me, and we're even. So that's one way that I looked at that particular story. That's one way to look at it. Here's the other way. See, the goddess Offset knew that she needed someone to help her. She couldn't do it alone. So she went to her sister, and she said, listen, set your crazy, deranged husband. Your crazy husband done chopped my husband into 14 pieces. Then spread his behind all over Kemet. And I'm going to go find him. See, Offset was... Offset was determined to get her man. She was determined because she could see God in him. Too many times, also, us as sisters, we have a good man that's near us. But because he isn't all put together, we don't want to invest the energy or the time to put his ass back together. We don't. Now, don't get me wrong, some of them ain't worth putting back together. But then there are some that is worth putting back together, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to take the time. And brothers, the same thing with you, with sisters. You don't want to take the time. If she is not perfect, if she cannot, oh, you did this. You got your little list out. You did this. You said that to me. You didn't understand that. You don't know about that. You did this and you did that and check it out. Now I don't want to deal with you. I'm not going to find your other seven pieces for you. You're not even worth that. So I'm going to let you go because I'm going to go to this sister over here that appears to have all of her 14 damn pieces together, appears to have it all clumped up into one. And I'm going to go to that sister, and I'm going to get with her. Because that's easier to do than to deal with you. Than to deal with you and your broken-ass pieces that you've got spread all over the world. You see? Because it's easy. But, you know, everything that's easy doesn't always end up easy. You see? Sometimes when you put the work in the beginning, then you don't have to do it later. You see? Now, I'm not telling all you brothers to go do that because some of these sisters ain't worth going to get their damn 14 pieces. Because even if you put them back together, they're going to let somebody chop their ass up again anyway. So, now, here's another way we're going to take a look at this story. Let me look at my time because I don't want to get too carried away. Okay, good. We still got about an hour. So here's another way to look at this. Offset knew that she needed her sister to come. The goddess Offset represented the light. The goddess Nephthys, her sister Nephthys, as she's also called, that is with her, also represent darkness. She was sort of that sister in the back, in the shadow, you know? She was sort of that sister that was, she was known for her magic, and she was known for sort of kind of doing things sort of on the other side, you see? So Offset represent the light. and her sister sort of represented the dark. You can also see this as the left hemisphere of the brain and the right hemisphere of the brain. She needed both the analytical side and she needed the holistic brain. Now, I am a woo-woo type of girl, but I also like to get results. So therefore, I'm using my right brain and I'm using my left brain. In fact, you cannot really operate without it. You got to have them both. But a lot of times we want to walk around, sisters, and I'm not going to go too far into this, and we want peace and blessings and love you and the light is the world and the world is the light. And we only want to stay holistic and eat green flowers and drink almond milk. I did say green flowers. That's crazy. But we want to just stay on the holistic side. No. You better get over here with this analytical side. You need them both. You need that analytical side. That is the masculine and the feminine energy both coming together. You can also look at it that way. You can look at sort of the light and the darkness, both of them coming together. You can see these two sort of kind of encompassing themselves. She knew that it was going to take everything she had to bring these damn pieces together. So they went looking with her stepson, with her nephew, coming with them. Brought him with them. Tell him, come on, you going with us. How many times when you were a kid that your mama didn't drag you somewhere with your mom and your aunt? You didn't get dragged along. Come on, you going. I don't care if you want to or not. So she dragged them all with them, and they began to search the land. And one by one, they started to pull these pieces together, and they started getting them together. Then all of a sudden, you know, I said, hold up, wait a minute, stop. Let me count. She said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. What we missing? Her sister knew what they were missing. Her sister knew what they was missing. I said, so let me count this again. 1, 2, well, there go his arms. There go his legs. There go his head. What are we missing? Then Offset said, oh, my goodness. We are missing the most important piece. Hell, this is what I went to go get his pieces for. This is why I'm putting him back together. I'm just joking, y'all. But anyway, you get you get what I'm saying. Then she said, we're missing his phallus. We missing his phallus, y'all. The penis. Oh, we got to go get that. Because if I'm going to invest all of this time with this brother, oh, I'm going to have a baby. Rest assured, we finna make a baby after this. Rest assured, a baby is coming up out of here. You hear me? I done searched and put you back together, and now your penis is missing. But see, when they went to go get the penis, it was in the water. And they used to have these real ugly penis, the ugly fish in Kemet. They said it was some of the ugliest fish ever. The fish just gobbled it all up. Just ate it up. So, oh, you know, her sister didn't want to tell her, but her sister was like, oh, no, the penis is gone. So no more creeping with my brother-in-law, even if you bring him back to life. But see, again, the wisdom of Offset. The wisdom of Offset. And I'm going to give you two ways to look at this. What Offset recognized is she said, you know what? I don't have to worry about that, because I'll just make him another penis. I'll make him a penis that was better than the penis he had. Now, women, you could understand this joke. How many times you've been with a man and his penis was, not so much. But we knew how to kind of work our little tricks and ticks and make him think his penis was much greater than it could ever be. Oh, he came in thinking he was kind of average and left out, thinking he was Donkey Kong. Anyway, just a little humor. Okay, I hear you, brothers. Let me get serious. So anyway, as we continue on, she decided that she was going, there you go, got a big ego. You're right. So there you go. So anyway, she began to make this penis. She began to make this penis. And she decided that this was going to be even better than it was the first time. So she created sort of this phallus made out of gold. Then she kind of hovered herself above and really, really, really began to bring him back to life. Of course, I'm skipping over some of the parts in the story but you get the point. She took what was nothing, these pieces, and she made it into something. Once you find your 14 pieces, and this is sort of that story that has been told over and over and over and over and over again of how we are to put ourselves back together. Brother Bobby Hemmett has talked about it. Brother Panic has talked about it. Many others have come on the platform. This is what all of this is about. It's about you raising up your energy, coming to that point in creation, creating sort of that goal phallus to be able to consummate yourself with, your higher self with, tapping into that divine Milky Way energy, activating those things of creation, the power, and also that wisdom. When you get the 14 pieces, you will have the wisdom. So that's what the phallus was. It was that wisdom coming together. You can begin to look at it this way. So the goddess of Set, she activated her wisdom. She activated that. Not only did she do that, but she then began to get into the place where even in some of the mythology, she starts to talk about how Set sort of kind of kidnaps her. Like, aha! I'm going to take Osiris, I'm going to take Asar, and he's coming with me in the damn boat. I'm still going to kill him. You ain't going to get him. I'm going to still take him. But she's pregnant, so he kind of puts her away somewhere. Now, this becomes a very pivotal part in the story as well, too, because at this time, she's actually pregnant with Heru, the baby Heru. Now, while she was pregnant with the baby Heru, and a lot of the mythology, when you begin to get into this and read it, you'll be able to see where the goddess Aset was communicating with her son. She was talking to him while he was still inside her belly. So one of the other shows that I did where I talked about nurturing the unborn child, this is not anything that is new. This is something that has been done time and time again. She was nurturing the baby, talking to the baby. When a woman is carrying the baby in her womb, this is the time, or you can look at this part of the story, of what we call spinning. Remember, I talked about scientists, when they start to think about those galaxies and those constellations, there are three components that they must consist of in order for them to classify it that. One was the mass, which was Tarwet, which is the point of creation. The other one was movement, which is also what they called, oh gosh, I lost the word. Hold on a second. The other one was the power, yeah, which is Heteru, which represented that power and that passion. And the other thing that had to be in there in order for them to consider this to be a part of it was called the spin. The spin. The spinning. So the stars, we know that the planets orbit, we orbit around the sun. That's the spin. And based upon how fast those stars are spinning close to the middle is how you're going to tell how large that mass is. So now, Aset is in what we call a spin time. She's spinning. That's when you go within. So she's going within and she's talking to her baby. She's spinning. She's spinning around and around and around. She's thinking about those things of her past and she's thinking about what's going on right now. And she's also looking into the future. This is the activation point of the wisdom, the spin. The spin. When it becomes a time for you to get into your spin. This is you going into your meditation. This is you taking that time out to really go within. If you are a mother, this is the time that you take that time and you communicate with your baby. You begin to spin. You begin to spin that energy within yourself. All of that is the spin. Is the spin. Is the spin, is the sound of the universe. It is that spinning energy. It is that wisdom that feeds within the Milky Way. It is the wisdom that feeds within the Milky Way. The goddess Aset, she activates that wisdom that exists. So again, I take you back to the beach and picking up that little pebble of sand and recognizing that just like where we are, us, because we're matter. The planet is matter. The stars are matter. The moon is matter. The sun is matter. That's only 4%. Don't get dazzled by the 4%. Know that you must go beyond. So this is symbolic of you going beyond what you think you know. Go beyond that. This is what I took away from this story. You guys will be able to see your own interpretation of what I'm sharing with you here tonight. But this is you going beyond that. So can I believe that people went to the moon? Of course. That's easy. We have not even begun to tap into our local groups yet. We have not even begun to grace the surface of what we know. We have not even begun to get into that energy. So on tonight, the night that the dog star, the star Sirius, is in the sky, again, this is what is lighting up the sky. It is the star. Everything that is there has already existed. The moon has been there. The stars have been there. That has not changed. None of that has changed. That is the same. It is the star, what they call the star of Aset that's in the sky, or the star of Isis, the Nile star, the Sirius star that has now reflected that light onto the moon. The gateway goddess, the goddess Tarwet, the gateway guardian of the northern sky is still there. Still there. That hasn't changed. None of that. So, the three goddesses, Tarwet, Heteru, and Aset, all of them connected into this divine energy. As this particular story goes on, the greatest love story, the story of Asar and Aset, what ends up happening at the end? Because of all of this wisdom that she begins to exemplify herself with, what happens? She gets crowned, with the same crown that Heteru has. She gets the sunbeam or the moonbeam, and she also gets the horns for the cow, showing whenever you see that cow-like symbol and it's associated with the goddess in ancient Kemet, this is one of the greatest honors. To be able to nurture, to be able to create, to be able to cause movement, to be able to tap into your wisdom. And we all have that ability. It is a feminine principle. Not between your legs. This is energy that exists in both men and exists in both women. The energy of creation and also the energy that exists within the power to cause movement. And also to be able to activate your wisdom. When you can put these three together, then you can truly say that you have suckled and tasted the divine milk of the Milky Way. This is just sort of the beginning of the journey. This is how you get in so you can recognize where you are at that particular place. Yes. So now, we're going to get ready to do the meditation. We're almost there. We're going to get ready to do the meditation. I think there was something else. It's so much that I could actually tell you guys that we could actually continue to go along with this particular story and showing these three goddesses and how this is all connected with the divine energy of the Milky Way. Yes. So the goddess Tarawet, and I'll spell her name again. This is how you'll see her name spelled many different ways, but the goddess Tarawet is T-A-R-W-E-R-T, Tarawet. And then, of course, the goddess Heteru, and then the goddess Aset. We know that, goddess Aset. I'll put it in the chat room for those of you. So this is really where our focus should be, if you were to ask me. I know it's where my focus is. It's my focus to understand really what the Milky Way is. When you begin to look at those components and to think about the billions and billions and zillions of different galaxies that are there, we have not even made it outside of our local group. So when it comes to all of our studies and the things and the work that we're doing, we really have not truly picked up one sand, grain of sand off the beach. We really have not. And then when you begin to think about how much is still laying there, how much is still there, how amazing is that? So much happened. We're going to talk about the confirmations that happened, and then we're going to get ready to sort of kind of wrap this up, and then I'll open it up for questions as well. And then I also want to do the meditation because I think that's going to be really cool. And then we can take some calls. But I also want to mention, if I didn't get a chance to mention this, the sister Lauren, it is actually her birthday today. And today, what is also symbolic of today, if we were to begin to think about the energy on the planet today, this would have been the day that the goddess Aset would have went out to look and get those pieces of Asar and begin to put them back together. So a lot of energy that is here. This is a time of creation. This is the time to tap into your creation energy, and this is also the time for you to begin to cause movement and also to tap into those things of wisdom. If you are let's say, for instance, you want to play this role of the baby Heru suckling on his mother's breast. Then in tantric, how you can begin to look at this for brothers and sisters is that you can actually play that role that the goddess played on earth, and that is suckling on your woman's breast, really for that point of activation, really tapping into that divine energy. If you are a mother and you are nursing your baby, definitely you want to get yourself into that place of being centered and really see yourself passing on the DNA, passing on those things in the Akashic record, passing on all of those things as they go on. This is why those things such as the panic pack, because I cannot tell you guys enough, just about every sister this week, most of them that were talking to me, that were sharing their dreams during the sessions, or I was sharing some information with them, told me that one sister told me while she was smoking her panic pack, she actually went to the Milky Way. Now, she didn't even know I was getting ready to do this show. And when she said that, I said, this is you activating that pineal gland. This is also helping you to tap into that energy as well, too. So all of these tools, from the panic pack, from the mirror, from the picture packet, from the readings that I offer, and all of these other supplies that brothers and sisters are offering out here to help you raise your consciousness, this is the work to be doing. These things work. People are really tapping in, really tapping in to their divine wisdom. They are drinking the milk from the Milky Way. And you can see it in their lives. You can see it by the work they're doing. You can see it. And for those of you who have been on the Blue Blast call while we were doing all of the psycho, sexy, cool exercises from the Know Your Magic audio workbook, and they were guessing them and putting them up on my Facebook wall, they will tell you. Because, see, that's where it ain't no joke. I truly believe what I do, that each and every one of us could do it, and they were guessing each other colors, and they were putting it up on the Facebook wall. So there was no guessing. There was no, oh, Miss Blue, just let me be right. No, they were actually guessing their answers. We did it with money. We did it with colors. So this is where you put up or shut up. And those brothers and sisters who participated in that came out, and they really seen it can be done. It can be done. Each and every single one of us, it can be done. And they'll tell you that they've been using that in their everyday life as well. And that's what you're supposed to be doing, using these things. So if you don't have that Cyclomancy book that Brother Panic has, and if you don't have a panic pack, if you have not gotten a reading, I suggest that you get one because it is helpful. Not because I say so. Not because anybody else say so. All you have to do is look around. Look around. These things are here for a reason. For a reason. If you have not, I would suggest that you do it. So think about when babies were born in ancient Kemet. All of these things that we have, that I have, the Akashic Record reading, the baby lotus reading, the God-Goddess reading, they gave that to them right there on the spot. You want to know what your purpose is? Here it is. You want to know some of your challenges? Here it is. You want to know these things that you need to be doing? Here it is. They laid it out for them. Laid it out for them right there, flat. So when Brother Bobby Hemmett is telling you that one of the ways that you can tap into this energy is really by looking into this mirror and getting these pictures and working with this, oh, that's real magic. It's real magic that really has an ancient legacy that goes along with it. When Panic is telling you all of these herbs he mixed for the panic pack and so many people are telling you, oh, that's real magic. When you're learning these stories of our ancient Kemetic ancestors and Elder Heru is sharing his walk as a scribe and recognizing how they, oh, that's real magic. When Queen Afua is explaining to you about how the goddesses move and the energies of the goddess, oh, that's real magic. You understand? When Dr. Phil Valentine is sharing with you information that he's found through his work and his study, oh, that's real magic. When Mr. Anderson comes on and tells you that you can literally take a water bottle, turn it upside down, cut it in half, and throw some of your scraps in there and put some seeds in there and grow food that you can actually eat, that is real magic. When Dr. Yu comes on and he tells you to take an olive and chop it up and mix it with some olive oil and saute it a little bit and take a spoonful of that, and if you need an antibiotic, that will cure you. Oh, that is real magic. When Miss Blue tells you that this is the color that you need to put around you in order to help heal yourself and to help you go somewhere else and understand those things that happened to you in the past is what is impacting you here in the future, oh, that's real magic. When Brother Q is mixing together his crystals and putting them in a triangle and telling you to sit this in your living room, oh, that's real magic. When the Brother Mark sends you an email and tells you to go check out his video on YouTube that he has so eloquently put together of all of the different brothers and sisters in the conscious community and things that they have shared, and you're watching that video and all of a sudden something comes upon you and you don't know what it is, oh, that's real magic. So when I say know your magic, know that your life, know that you, know that everything that exists around you is magic. It is the woo-woo, but it's also the poo-poo, too. It is everything. All of that is magic. When we're on the remix and we're doing chat and chills and we're doing the linguistics and Esther is joining us and we're here and we're saying take these words and begin to play with them, that is real magic. When you're talking to or you're listening to some of the archives and you hear people like Sister Myra who has came on and you hear people like Brother Kaba come on and you've heard, Dr. Francis Press Welsing has been on the platform as well as Dr. DeGruy, and you hear that is real magic. All of that is magic. All of that exists in helping you to drink the divine milk of the Milky Way. And so what we're getting ready to do right now, I want everyone to begin to get themselves in a very comfortable position. We're going to take a short meditation that's actually going to take us on a ride to the Milky Way. And then we'll probably go into the after hours. I'll open it up if you guys have some. Some of you have told me you wanted to share some of your experiences. I want you guys to do that as well, too. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to get ready to put that on so we can get ready to take this journey to the Milky Way. So that's where we're going to be going. And you guys know how you can reach me, question, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N, the number 4, blue, at gmail.com. You can email to me there. If you don't have the Remix app that's available for Android phone, coming for other phones soon, as soon as we can get them, hit me up on Facebook. If you like this show, I want you to like it. If you love it, I want you to tell me that you love it. So feedback goes both ways. So send that feedback to me. For those of you who have not signed up to get a reading, definitely I would encourage you to reach out, find out about it. You don't have to get it from me, but get it from someone that you trust, because that is also real magic. And energy is real. So be careful about your energy. Make sure you guard it like you guard your gate as well. So yes, and I can't forget the poet of the chairman. I cannot forget Brother Ogun, who has been on this platform, who has also been there for me as well, too. That is real magic. I can go on and on and on for magic. If you guys have not gone back and listened to those shows, I would encourage you to do it. If you don't have your panic packs, I want to encourage you to do that. You can email Brother Panic at panic, PANICPACK at hotmail.com. And last, but definitely not least, and I saved this for last because I wanted to do a big presentation at the end, but I think we're going to run out of time. If you guys have not gotten with Sister Rain Water to get your dream apps, that is real magic. Got to get it. I love mine. We have sisters and brothers out here who are making everything from jewelry to Sister Fairy. I always want to say her other name, but let me get her name right. She makes the fairy houses, Fairy Queen. Thank you, Esther. Sister Fairy Queen, who makes the fairy houses. She makes the jewelry. If you guys do not have that, You need to get with it. I'm going to ask that if all of you sisters and brothers who have these things, have these products, if you can put them on the Remix Facebook wall, put them on my wall, leave me a comment on my Facebook wall, which it is under Blue Raspberry Wen. Just leave a comment there as well, too. If you have not gone back and listened to that show, a couple of shows in particular that will help to bring more of this information together, the show that Brother Ogun did. Now, we also have Baba Ogun on here, but the show that Brother Ogun did, go back and listen to that. Listen to those shows that Panic did, the seven levels of decoding the levels of the dream, the three levels of the dream, all of those shows that Brother Panic has done, those shows that Brother Bobby has done, both of the shows or all three of the shows that Elder Haru has done. Go back and listen to those shows. Also, you want to get with Goddess Rainwater. I think she's in the room. I want to give a big shout-out and love to Ebony because she is one of those sisters that ride with me, Sister Munya, Sister Esther. I could go on. Sister Rainwater, y'all know I could go on, but I'm not going to keep going on because I'd have to name all of you because you all play a very, very significant role in my life and in the remix as well. And so I am thankful, I am grateful, I am humbled, and I love you all, every single one of you, from the guests that come on the platform and from each and every one of you. So now we're going to get ready to get into the meditation. And then we'll talk about it. So we're getting ready to take a ride on the Milky Way. Everyone get themselves ready. And so here we go. Okay, we're going to get ready to take a ride on the Milky Way. So as you get yourself ready and get set up to take this journey here, what I want you to do is find a comfortable position for yourself. So that could either be laying down or it could be sitting up. So whatever you decide to do, it's fine. You can do this sitting up or you can do this laying down. I want to make sure that if you are taking the journey sitting down, making sure that your feet are placed flat on the ground, that your feet are not crossed in any way. So same thing if you're laying in the bed. I also want to make sure that you don't have anything that is constricting you, that makes you feel tight or sort of kind of binded. So if that is the case, you want to loosen that up if possible. And then you want to get yourself in a comfortable position. There you go. Excellent. So now, let's get ready. First, I want you to take a nice deep breath in and out, nice and slow. So we're just going to breathe in and out, nice and slow. And you're actually going to be taking that breath coming from sort of the position of your feet and really working your way up. So from your toes, all the way up your legs, all the way up to your knees. So in and out, nice and slow. Yes, just like that. So now you're going to be breathing in and out some more. And this time it's going to relax sort of the middle of your body. So this is going to be the thigh area. We're going to be coming into your legs and the upper part of your legs as well. And then into your stomach area. So breathe in and out. Nice and slow. Excellent. And now up towards your chest area, what you're doing is just really, really kind of pushing all of your energy upward. Because actually what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking a flight. So we're going to be flying into outer space. We're going to be flying into the cosmos. So breathe in nice and deep and nice and slow. Just take your time. Relax. This is allowing your whole body to become very, very still and very relaxed. So breathe in and out. Nice and slow. Excellent. So now your chest is relaxed, your shoulders, and now your arms and your fingers. The more and more you breathe in and out, the more relaxed you're becoming as you continuously breathe in and out. Now we're going to be doing the upper half of your body. We're doing really the face. So you're going to breathe in and out, relaxing everything. That's it. Your cheeks, your lips, your nose, your ears, your eyelids are becoming relaxed in your head. Everything is relaxed on your body. You're closing your eyes. Now, this is the part of the journey that you're actually going to be taking by yourself, and I'm going to meet you on the other side. So once you get yourself into that position where you are completely relax. I want you to take off. Take off flying straight ahead. Just take off flying. Imagine yourself going straight up, shooting for the stars. That's just how you're going to be taking off. And I'm going to meet you on the other side once you get outside of the Earth's atmosphere. Now, how you're going to know that you broke that barrier is because this whole time that you're breathing and you're pulling this energy up, you're going to feel this energy sort of kind of pushing you in that direction as you propel yourself out into space. And you'll hear sort of a popping sound. You'll hear a crackling sound. You're going to hear that sound that's going to let you know that you have broke through the Earth barrier. Once you've done that, then we're all going to be there together, and we're going to head towards the Milky Way. And so these are going to be the things that you'll be looking for on your way. So I'll see you on the other side. That's it. Keep breathing. In and out, nice and slow. You're doing excellent. I see some of you have already taken off in flight, and that's excellent. And the rest of you, I want you to just keep relaxing yourself until you get to that point where you can actually feel the barrier. Excellent. See you on the other side. I see you made it. Excellent. So now we're going to get ready to continue to fly now that we've made it outside of the Earth's barrier. I want you to just continuously fly faster, faster. Excellent. That's it. Keep going faster, faster, faster. Wonderful. Now, here's what I want you to do. So you can see the difference in time and space. I want you to take a look over your left shoulder. Look down. You see the Earth. Look how small it looks. This is how far you've traveled. Now keep going. That's it. Keep flying. Excellent. Now, you see that large, large mass that's ahead of you. That's what we're heading for. That's the Milky Way. We're on our way. Keep going. Now, as you get closer, you're going to notice that you're going to see a gold ladder. So that's what I want you to focus your attention to. Look over to the right. See if you see the gold ladder. As soon as you reach the ladder, I want you to begin to climb the ladder. Excellent. Now, climb the ladder. That's it. Keep going. Keep going. I need you to climb a little faster. Excellent. Now, you get to the top and you see a temple. Walk through the temple doors. There it is. Walk in. Now, standing there, looking at you, is the goddess Tarawet. She's waiting for you. Yes. Now, over to the table on the right. There's a table. There's a lamp. On the table, there is a silver cup. Inside the silver cup is the milk, the divine essence of the Milky Way. You're going to drink it. It will activate those things of creativity. It will activate those things of power and passion and wisdom. So drink up. Drink it quick. Drink it fast. And drink it all. Excellent. Now, put the cup down. The goddess Tarawet has opened up that gateway for you. The gateway. She is the guardian of the northern skies. I want you to stand on the edge. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump. On the count of three, we're going to jump. We came. We did what we came to do. So one, two, three, jump. There you go. You're falling faster and faster and faster. But you're safe. But you're safe. You're coming back into the Earth's atmosphere. You're coming back into yourself. And so now you're safe. You're falling. You're almost there. You're almost there. You've done your job. Excellent. So now you're back on Earth, and you're safe. Yes. You may open your eyes. Wonderful. We just took a ride on the Milky Way.
All right, everyone. So hopefully you enjoyed that little trip on the Milky Way there, activating your creation, your power, and your passion, and your wisdom. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone line. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. I want you guys to go ahead and definitely, definitely call in. We will keep going. We will keep going with the show. I'm glad you guys enjoyed that trip on the Milky Way. It was really, really, you dropped yourself. Wow. I'm glad you guys enjoyed that. I'm glad you guys made it to the Milky Way and was able to go there again to get that creation, that power, and that wisdom from the three goddesses, Tarawet, the goddess Heteru, and also the goddess Offset. So 646-652-2711 is the number to call. So you can call in and share. We'll probably go into the after party. And don't forget, for those of you who won't sort of kind of keep going with us, don't forget we'll be back here Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have another amazing cheer for you. I'll be putting that up very shortly so you'll know what's to come. Get your linguistics ready because we're going to be doing a little bit of that as well, too. But also call in so we can share a little bit as well, too. I had so much fun doing this show tonight. I really didn't know how it was going to come out, but I'm very thankful and glad that you guys found the information to be valuable. So 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 for those of you who are going to see Brother Bobby Hemmett tomorrow in Columbia, South Carolina at the Sphinx Paw. Definitely give him the love from me, Miss Blue, at the Remix, and also just the Remix family as well, too. So you guys can email me, question, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N, the number 4, blue, at gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Definitely love to see you guys in the sessions. They've been powerful. Those of you who have your sessions coming up, I look forward to it, as well as my Baby Lotus readings as well. So I'm going to go to the phone line. And go from there. Press 1 when you guys get on the phone. I would love to hear your feedback and some of the things that you thought about the show as well. So we're going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to the caller. It looks like calling in. Looks like calling in from area code 718. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 718. Okay, I guess they're just listening. So now we're going to go. Press 1 if you guys want to share. If not, if you don't, then we'll just close the show out. I think it was a great share. We can go from there as well, too. And someone's calling me, but they're calling me on Skype, so that's not the right number if you're doing that. You need to Skype in to the show and not call me and as well. But let's go. There's another caller that's calling in from area code. It looks like an international number, 442. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello, Miss Blue.
Yes, greetings.
This is Zulu from the UK.
Yes, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. I got up a bit late for your show, but I had a bit of it. You know, the show you're going to have. You always say you have a show on Sunday Eastern Time. I don't always get that on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, last Sunday I didn't do a show, but the Sunday is going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also sign up here on the Remix, and what will happen is you'll get notifications of when the shows are coming about or when the shows are actually going to go on as well. So that way you can know when the show is going to happen, yes.
Okay, so it will be 7 for at your own time, 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, yes.
Eastern Standard Time, okay. Okay, so that's you know, I'll try and listen to the show this Sunday then.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks
all right.
For the meditation. Okay, bye.
All right. Okay, everyone, 646-652-2711 is the number to call. 653 is the number as well. We're just going to go ahead and let the clock count down. I don't think you guys have too many questions tonight. So since you don't have too many questions, then we will close out. Well, shouldn't have spoke so fast. Oh, I guess you guys do want to share some thoughts. Okay, so we'll go to the next caller calling in from area code 337. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello, Ms. Blue. This is Kendra calling from Louisiana.
Greetings, Kendra. How are you?
Fine, and you? Is this a specific question about the show tonight, or I can just ask you anything?
You can ask anything or share your thoughts about the show tonight as well.
Well, I caught it late, but what I did hear, I liked it. But I heard you said something, and I had a question about that. I'm dealing with somebody, whatever, and he was like, I don't know if I'm too strong or if I did something wrong or whatever, because he kind of like shut down on me. But on certain levels, you know, it's like when I play dumb and retarded and like I'm not strong, you know, I get, you know, they be nice. But whenever I be myself and be strong, Kendra's like, it's a turn off. So like, do I need to come in the middle ground? I don't understand what I'm doing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I'll say this, and thank you for calling in for that. I don't think you're doing anything wrong. Now, there's a difference when we begin to talk about feminine powers and we talk about or our feminine energy, we begin to talk about being strong. So there is a difference between being strong and sort of kind of being over domineering. Do you get what I'm saying? And sometimes what happens, and I'm going to tell you definitely what some of the energy that I pick up, is that what happens is in a relationship, and I know you're kind of open to hear this. I won't go too far into this. What happens is you tend to start out being more passive.
Okay.
And then what happens, you tell me if I'm wrong, you start out to be kind of passive. But once they get to know you, you sort of kind of unleash the dragon on them. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute, who is this person? You know, who is this? What happened to this sweet, nice person I met? So it's not necessarily that you are being strong, because sometimes we think that strength is not just about the actions we take. Sometimes some of the softest, most subtle moves that we make, particularly as women, is where our strength comes in. So being strong is not what we consider on this physical level, is imitating those things of a man. That's not strength. You understand? That just makes you manly. That doesn't make you strong, because you don't have to.
So you say I was coming off manly?
No. I'm not saying you're coming off manly. What I'm saying is what happens is you don't tend to know how to balance the energy of your true self. And so there is those extremes within yourself. And anytime we have those extremities going on, that kind of sets the motion for the other person to not know how to take that. You understand? It's just like if I'm talking to you nice and then all of a sudden I start cursing you out. You're going to be like, whoa, what happened? You understand? Is this out of your element? So how you can begin to balance out this energy within yourself? Because in a sense, what you're attracting is the same type of men. You're attracting those men that comes up to you and it seems to be these loving, concerning guys. And then all of a sudden, as you change your demeanor, they change their demeanor. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense, because like today, you know, I'm gonna say I ain't gonna go too into it, but I was dealing with a person or whatever, and like certain levels, I think I insulted them, but I really didn't mean to insult them. But it was like I'm a silly person, you know, like I was being nice, and then sometimes I just laughed, and I think he took that as me insulting him, and I didn't insult him, and he just shut down. I'm like, okay, whatever. But it's like. I attract dudes, like, he on a higher level, but it was like, I think I came off, you know, me being, like you say, passive, and then he like, Kendra, what's the real you, what's the real you? I'm like, don't ask me, if my realness is too raw for you, let me be passive, don't ask me to be real, like, I'm not understanding.
Well, you know, here's a couple of things, and I'll just be perfectly honest with you. He's dealing with some insecurities, and so are you.
Yes,
and so what's happening is you guys are reflecting each other's insecurities. And so what I say to that is take it slow, remain friends, You understand? There's no need. Yeah. There's no such thing as really hiding the real you. That's what we say. You understand? Because to some degree, we all are hidden within, and rightfully so. We need to be for some of these people out here in the world. Some of them are not even worthy of really sort of kind of getting into your cipher to that degree. But I think you get what I'm saying. You guys are, you're attracting an insecurity because you have an insecurity within yourself. And so what has to happen for you on this level where you get the most benefit is really try to do some of that downtime with yourself. Spend some time with Kendra getting to know who you are. Spend some time with yourself.
It's really for me to even continue to talk to her because I've seen that insecurity into her. And at a certain level, I was insecure and I saw that in myself too. So I'm like, is it even worth even pursuing it? Like, because after what happened, I'm like, I don't even think I care to even pursue that no more.
Well, you know, I talked about that sort of kind of like on the show. Sometimes we are willing to throw away stuff and not invest that time. I think you guys can be very good friends, but I think you need to keep it on that level of being friends
until you both
can become comfortable. I think a lot of times in relationships, especially when it comes to us women, we try to force ourselves into a relationship with a man, and even when we can see these red flags coming up, and he's shown you some red flags because he's even kind of got a little aggressive in his speaking when it comes to you bringing out this side of yourself.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm glad that was helpful for you. So, you know, in the meantime, you know, chill out. Be friends with the brother. Enjoy each other's company. And I think that's an experience you need to get. But other than that, you need to really just try to focus on someone that it is natural for you to make these transitions, because we all have more than one attribute within ourselves. And if a person only wants to see you sitting on the steps with your legs crossed and your hands over your knees, then, you know, that's not really a person who's balanced enough for you. Yeah.
That's real.
All right. Well, peace. Okay, so we're going to continue on at the remix. We're going to go to the next caller. It looks like calling in from area code 719. You're live in the remix.
Hi, Ms. Blue. This is Almost Him calling from Colorado Springs. And
I love
the show.
Oh, well, great. Hold on 1 second, Almost Him. I think we are, I missed it. We're in the after hour. Hold on a second. Peace and love to everyone out there. If you're not on the phone, don't forget to download. Let me tell them. Download. I didn't even realize it. Okay, so don't forget to download, you guys. Peace and love to you guys. So go ahead. How are you? So I'm glad you love the show. What did you love about it?
Everything. There is nothing I don't love about your shows. Your shows are awesome. But the meditation that you took them all the way back to my little rant where I said the universe smells like black. Mm-hmm. I guess you said it way better than I could have ever said it. I just tried to make it concise and as short as possible. But my thing is, every time, I mean, since I've been on this left half path, I've been on it for a long time. Didn't know I was on it, but I've been on it so long that I've started noticing every time that I do a ritual or something, I don't know if I can say it. Like the Matrix, it fights back, and it tells me that it knows I'm doing it, and it's basically like it's trying to tell me to stop. Is there a way that I can like balance that out so it won't attack me as much?
Well, most definitely. Here's the number one way that you can balance out that energy if you're trying to do anything of a ritual or set intentions, because remember the universe. When we're talking about that divine milk, it's flowing. So you want to get into the flow of the energy of the milk, of the Milky Way, so to speak, tapping into that creation energy. You want to make sure that your intentions are very pure. This is how you can begin to do these types of rituals, and you can set these intentions. Set your intentions. Have your intentions to be pure.
pure. Make sure they're pure and make sure you're clear. So, you know, for instance, and I'll just hypothetically throw this out there. Don't throw out into the universe, oh, I no longer want to work at this stupid job.
You already know.
Don't throw that out there because then the universe says, oh, well, then you don't want to work. So let's get him fired. See, the universe already told me what you did. Let's get him fired. Let's fight him up. Let's put him in the place of fear so he feels like he can't even take care of himself, buy food, pay his bills. Let's get him in that place of fear. But that's not a clear intention when you send that to the universe. What you want to do, we know wherever thought goes, energy flows. Wherever energy flows, this is where creation grows. So what you have to do is begin to move yourself into what you want as opposed to what you don't. So if what you want is, let's say, for instance, hypothetically, you want to be working over here at this other job because it gives you better hours and you could still do your studies and your work and you're not stressed. It makes you get a little bit more cash flow and a little bit more money. Then what you want to focus on is find out what you need to do to get into that energy. That's what you want to begin to set your intentions on, what you want. So whether that's bringing love into your life, peace into your life, if you want the currency to flow a little bit more in your life, focus on what you want as opposed to what you don't want. And that's how you're going to be able to tap into it. And the universe is not going to fight back because, in a sense, the universe doesn't fight back. It doesn't judge. It doesn't do any of that. So if you're sitting here thinking, ugh, I hate this job, the universe says, okay, so all of these feelings that come with that job, send him more of that hate. Because it doesn't judge. It doesn't judge.
So true. I hear that. That is beautiful. Honestly, you and the spirit is like that. Y'all got it. Really,
so
I hear that.
Focus on those things that you want to happen, and you will see your whole world will change before you. It will. Focus on what's truly in your heart, because ultimately it's not about any of these things. Remember, we just at the beginning of the show, I talked about matter, and I talked about how that's only 4%. So we're not trying to get to the matter. We're trying to get to the dark energy, what lives in the dark energy. This is about our feelings, and it's about our emotion. So sit down, do some visualization. How would it feel if you were in that space that you want? How would you feel? Capture that energy within your body, and that's what's going to send the ripples out into the universe.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree, and I love it and appreciate it. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, love you, too. Peace and love. Hold it down in Colorado, God and other God.
Try my best.
All right. Peace to you. Excellent question. Great question there. We're going to continue on. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 205. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, I'm calling from Alabama.
You're calling from Alabama?
Right. Matter of fact, I'm from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, right? But tornado kind of ripped through. Matter of fact, if you can run outside of my house and sprint up the street, and if you lived there, you wouldn't be here.
Okay. And what's your name?
Dion.
What is it?
Dion.
Oh, okay, Dion. I'm sorry. You're coming in a little broken. It may be on my end. Okay. You wanted to share something with us, Dion.
How do you know I have a question?
Because I know you probably do have a question. However, tonight you came on to share.
Yeah, actually I do. You know how when we talk about doing our work within the moon cycles?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I come up with this. It just came to me or whatever. And I have practiced and used this and have found it to be quite effective. This year being, you know, the most effective yet. But if you could not only use the cycle of the moon, but if you use the cycle using a calendar year with your birthday, I have found that to yield some similar effects with the moon, but on a different type scale. It seems like it works slowly, more slowly, but it's more, I don't know, manifesting, more evident, I guess I could say. But yeah, I mean, using your birthday as like the full moon portion, and then working 6 months out from your birthday from that to use like as the middle point, it would work for me. I just wanted to put it out there. If it works for somebody,
okay. Well, that's
great.
Good.
If somebody called in and let someone, you know, because I listen, even though I don't call in all the time, I listen. And if somebody could use that and it worked for them, I would love to hear it.
Yes, yes. I can see that working because we have so many different cycles around us. And one of the things that's key is that we begin to use all of them because right now there's so much energy on the planet and so many different levels that we can tap into all of those levels. And we have always been able to do that. So we have all of these different things. We have the moon patterns. You know, we have our birthday cycle. We have the yearly calendar year. We have all of these different cycles. The goal, though, is to rise above the cycle and be able to tap into it at will. That's the goal, is to be able to tap into it at will. So we can use these things because the energy is there, too. And, Dion, I'm going to mute you. It sounds like a lot of noise going on over there. Hopefully you're okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. But, yes, so thank you so much, Dion, for calling in and sharing that. That's excellent. Thank you. Glad to know it's working for you. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 267. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Oh, peace and blessings.
Peace.
Am I on?
Yes, you are. Who's on the line?
Peace and blessings and greetings, Miss Blue. This is Roger.
Greetings to you, Roger. Greetings to you.
I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Yes, Roger. We hear
you
from Philadelphia.
But what I wanted to know is that I've been struggling with a couple of things, and it's hard for me to express it. But what I want to say is that I deal with the issue of addictions. I deal with alcoholism. I just need some advice. Help me to tap into some God or goddess aspect that will help me to relieve this issue.
Right.
I've been dealing with it for a long time.
Yes.
And I hear my mother in energy. She comes to me every now and then, but I just haven't been able to resolve it.
Right. Well, Roger, thank you so much for calling in and being able to really share this. Here's a couple of things. One of the things I want to tell you, as I spoke about tonight, one of the things that the goddess of Set brings is a lot of wisdom. And one thing that she knew, even though she had great tasks before her that seemed like they were impossible for her to overcome, these things that she was dealing with. You know, one, to be able to find her husband, and then two, being able to find all the body parts, and then being able to carry the son and being able to bring her whole family back together. Big burdens, just like the burden that you're dealing with at this particular time. Here's two things. I'll give you a couple of things that will help you on this. One of the number one things is about admitting, recognizing that we have a problem. Your problem just happens to be at this particular time, it has to deal with you in an addiction. And a lot of us suffer from many of these addictions, so don't be fooled. Just because you said alcoholism, we tend to see that. On some levels, some people see that as a disease more than just an addiction. And then on other levels, other people suffer from all kinds of addictions, sex addictions. You know, some people are addicted to Facebook. So these are all very much addictions that impact our lives in so many different ways. The first thing that I will tell you, I'm going to give you a recommendation, and that is that you get yourself in a 12-step program. Now, a lot of brothers and sisters around the conscious community in Philadelphia, I'm sure they have a place there. You'll have to seek them out. But you're going to need support. You're going to need to be around other people who can understand what you're looking for, understand those pieces that you're looking for, and really begin to get you some counseling so you can build yourself a good support system based upon these principles and foundations of the things that you have sort of kind of got yourself addicted to. Now, of course, this is not going to be something that I could give you an answer in a short few minutes. And I know you've already emailed me for a session, so I will be reaching out to you to give you some other things there as well, too. But also, what you can begin to do is really, really begin to look at yourself. And I know you've done that, but not from a position of judgment. Not from a position of judgment, but begin to look at yourself and recognize where you are today, where Roger is today, not those things of the past, because what tends to make us turn our back to addictions, whether that's a past relationship, whether that's something that hurt us, you know, sometimes often they will ask, well, why did you go back to that person if you knew they were doing that? It's because of that addiction of what's feeding it. What you're trying to cover up, Roger, is a lot of pain that you've had in your life. And without getting too personal and going into that, a lot of pain that you have suffered from, not from you doing things that most people would consider to be very reckless, but pain in things that you truly believed in and that you truly loved, that has hurt you, that has betrayed you, those broken promises. And alcohol, those spirits getting in you, is what is feeding, what is sort of kind of covering up that pain. So it's going to take a lot of discipline. It's also going to take you setting boundaries for yourself. And in a sense, you're going to have to find a new addiction as you're working your way through this. So whether that new addiction becomes you sort of kind of working out, getting your physical body into shape, changing the way you eat, doing some of those ancient Kemetic feng shui practices on your home, doing some sacred space clearing, and really getting your attention focused on something else. Because what happens at those wee hours of loneliness? This is when the addiction creeps in, correct?
Yes.
So this is about you really keeping yourself in a place of being very active and giving yourself a sense of purpose. So a couple of things to immediately do. I want you to look for a 12-step program. That's somewhere near. Take yourself to the 12-step program. There are some things out there in this world that can help us. I don't agree with all of their principles, but this 12-step program is going to help you. You're going to be around other like-minded people that are trying to do the same thing that you're doing, and you're going to get that support system. It's not going to be all the support you need, but this is going to be the support system. If you can, try to find a brother or sister that deals with those things in the conscious community, because what you need right now is you need people around you. And then you need to find a new addiction. So whether that is, hey, I want to change the way I eat, start there. I want to change every single day. Start your day with an intention. It is when your mind becomes so idle that there is absolutely nothing going on that you turn to this addiction. So whether that is getting your sacred space in order, whether that's getting yourself together, write yourself a list in the morning and give yourself a sense of purpose. Whether that be your children, whether that be yourself, whether it be friends or family, give your self-purpose. If you don't have a purpose, this is when your addiction will begin to take over. So look for that 12-step program, preferably those in the conscious community. We deal with brothers and sisters with different addictions all the time. So I know in Philadelphia you will be able, there's a brother, Abub Shahid, he's been a guest here on the show. If you go back and listen to that show, he's in Philly. Maybe he can put you in contact with somebody out in that particular area that does it in a holistic lifestyle. And then I want you to become very active. You need to keep busy. You need to keep yourself very, very busy. That's what you need to do. You need to think about those things that you want to begin to connect yourself with, on that level. So whether that's changing your diet, I know you eat a fairly good diet now, but changing your diet and then recognizing those things that is your kryptonite. If alcohol is your kryptonite, don't buy it. Get rid of it. Find another kryptonite. You understand? Find another kryptonite. And then once you've gotten yourself into that particular position, I'll send you a list holistically, because I am a holistic practitioner, of some of the things that you can add in your body that will help to alter some of those energies within you. But it is going to take discipline, Roger, and it is going to be about you setting your boundaries. And it's going to require you to get into your dark matter and face some of those demons within you. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Ms. Blue.
You're welcome. So we'll be in touch.
I really do. I had to face my demons.
Mm-hmm. We all do. We all do, Roger. And no one goes without it. And there's some people in the chat room that's telling you, you know, to really think about those things when it comes to sugar too, because that does, sugar is another major addiction in our society as well too. We have many of them. Some of them are attachments to peoples and things and all kinds of addictions. But this one of alcohol, because you want to be around so that you can see your children and so that you can be your family and so you can raise yourself back up to the God level that you're at. And begin to recognize that God that everyone else sees in you, but you can't see in yourself. So it's about recognizing.
Thank you graciously, Sister Blue. I really appreciate that. Okay.
All right. All right. So I'll be looking forward. Yeah, let me know.
I'm going to work on it.
All right. I want you to get in a 12-step program. I think that's going to help you tremendously. All right. So peace and love to you. Ah, that just breaks my heart. Peace and love. Peace and love. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code, I want to say 805. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi. Hello. Good night, Ms. Boo.
Oh, good night. Hello, good night, Griffin.
Hello, good night, Miss Blue. How are you doing? I'll be honest with you. I was going to ask a question, but then I realized that, oh, it's the after show. People are still in. So I'm going to try to keep it as serious as possible.
Okay.
So, how do you know when you really like someone, or it's a stupid question, but still, like, how do you know when you know, you love someone, or you, it's not just surface, or, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. How do you know when you're in love with someone?
Yeah, really, and did not just, yeah, that's the question.
As opposed to what? As opposed to not liking them? or as opposed to liking them and then loving them? How do you know that you truly, truly love them?
That's right. That's the second one. The last one? Yeah, that's it.
Well, Griffin, there are many different ways, but I guess the best way that I can tell you to know that truly, truly, when you love someone, is that the place that you're going to feel it the most is not going to be in your head, but in your body. And just the mere thought of them crossing your mind causes a reaction. It causes something to move within you, you know, something greater than just a thought. So even though you may be thinking about their name, or you may be thinking about how they look or how they feel or, you know, how to touch them, you're going to feel it within your body. Your body is going to tell you, much like when you tell yourself a truth and that feeling that comes over you, that's there. And also how you're going to know that you truly, truly love someone is that feeling when you think about how you feel about yourself. Because once you know how to love yourself, you can truly begin to learn how to love and connect with others.
Okay, which leads me to my other question. Do you think I should just keep to myself for a while and work my cell phones and then go back in the world? Or, guys, I'm getting that feeling.
Well, I mean, ultimately, you get to decide, but I think for you, isolation is too much of a normal place. You know, that's sort of a place where you don't have to take that responsibility. Because, see, with love and caring for people, we have to be responsible. And so too many times people try to bow out, because then that means that they somehow don't have to be responsible. You see? So I don't think you should retreat and go back into hibernation.
No,
I think you should continue to take small steps, and certainly what I'm telling you, Griffin, is that you don't have to be perfect. This is that perfectionism energy within you. You don't have to be perfect before you make a move. If you wait for something to be perfect before you do it, you may never do it.
I understand that.
So in the words of Salt and Pepper, you only live once and you're not coming back. And then I'll add, if you do come back, you probably won't remember too much about being here. So with that being said, I say life is wonderful, so live. And if you feel the love that's in your heart, I say definitely recognize that as a reflection of your own love for yourself. And that's where you're going to get the greatest gift out of that love. You know?
Yes. All right. Thank you very much, as well.
You're welcome, and congratulations to love, 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 love. That's what Holly Mark said. Love, love, love. I love to hear her say that.
Okay, I'm going to sing. Let's talk about love, love, love.
Yes, she says love, that. She calls it the blue black, and she says love, love, love. Oh, she says it. It's so musical. If you guys have not heard Kali Mar say her love, 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 it is so powerful and so beautiful. So, yes, Griffin, I say keep loving, keep loving. It's the greatest gift that you can give to yourself, and you can also share with others. So, yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
All right, so next we're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 904. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Miss Blue, this is the I God. Peace.
Peace, I God.
What's happening, everybody? Calling in from Jacksonville, Florida. I never say that, do I?
No, you don't. You don't.
Yeah, I don't ever tell people I am. I just keep it moving. All right. All right, Miss Blue. The show was fantastic tonight.
Oh,
meditation
thank you.
Took me there. I needed that. That was awesome. And I just wanted to thank you for being obedient and doing what you did. That was terrific.
Oh.
I ain't never been to the Milky Way before.
Oh, first time to the Milky Way.
Yeah, I had pink milk. That was fine.
Yeah, well, good.
I just want to thank you for that. I had a comment for the caller, not the last caller. That was Griff. What's up, Griff? Peace to Griff. Griff's artwork is outstanding. If y'all ain't check out Griff's artwork,
yes.
I need to check out what Griff be putting down. It's real fly. I'm trying to copy and paste it and put it on my desktop. You know what I'm saying? But, I got love for you, Griff, but I'd be extra bootleg. But, yo, what I was going to say to the brother, that's the field. I don't remember his name. Was it Reggie? The brother
it was
who called
Roger.
Yeah. I work in that field. I work in a rehab, a rehab. I'm like an overnight person here. These programs these programs are designed for people who really want to make change with their addiction, but the actual program is not really going to do anything for you. If you want to, and that's pretty much everything in life, is how you put your energy to it. Now, if this brother realizes he has a problem and knows he has an addiction and he wants to make steps to clear that up, then that's all he needs to clear it up. Now, I'm not going to, because a lot of the times, and I'm just being 100% honest because I work in this field, Ms. Bull, and I see this all day, every day. When you get around these people in these programs who are suffering from addictions and are in here for various reasons, not necessarily for, you know, getting in the program to get clean or anything like that, a lot of the times they fall into these horrible ruts of self-loathing to where they'll come out and be worse than when they first got in. So that journey to, oh, my goodness, I got a call. Hold on, Ms. Moon, please.
You know what I got? What am I going to do with him? What am I going to do with I got? He says, hold on, Ms. Moon.
I'm sorry.
We still here.
My bad. I was waiting on my boy to come pick me up, so I had to answer the phone. But what I was basically saying was that that key to addiction recovery is within. Okay, a lot of times we do need validation from other people to let us know. That's like little kids looking up at the parents saying, am I doing it right, type stuff. But I never suffered from, like, drug addiction myself, but, I mean, I kick cigarettes. I don't know if any of y'all smoke or have tried to stop smoking, if you have smoking, but it wasn't no joke. It wasn't no joke. And it all basically came down to me knowing my magic and believing
and
it. Not just knowing it, believing it.
Believing it and being able to activate it. I agree with you 100%, but I also recognize that there are more than one way to things. And like you said, it all starts with you. You have to want to do it. There is no program in the world. There is no magic pill that you can swallow that's going to make it done. But then there are cases. And in this brother's particular case is one where he needs to be around other people. If it's no more than to see the true reflection. Now, that may not be the case for everyone. People are not is what's going to heal you. And so, like yourself, I also deal with people with addiction, toppled by some of these other skills, too. And trust me when I say, some of the biggest demons that he's dealing with has to do with him being alone. And so by being around other people, not necessarily for them to be any kind of template for you, but not having sort of that loneliness is going to make a big difference as well, too. But, yes, I agree that all things start in the mind. We can take that back there to that point with ourselves, and you have to make sort of yourself that commitment. That's why I told him it is about those things. So very good point, and thank you for calling in for sharing.
No problem. We'll let y'all take it easy.
Peace and luck to you. That's I God. You got. Oh, we'll have to do that on Sunday show. I'm not even going to go there yet. Not yet. But I am going to go there. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. If you're on the line, you can press 1. If you have a question, we're going to go to the caller. It looks like calling in from area code 901. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing, Ms. Blue, man? This is Sincere Life. I'm calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Shout out to everybody in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, and everywhere else, of course. But going back to what you said in the show, which is know your magic. Now, you know, a couple of shows back when Brother Panic was on the subject of the ego, you know, controlling the self and knowing the shadow self and so on and so forth, and the subject of the fishing. What'd he say? Fishing marshmallows, okay?
Right,
now,
yes.
About the fishing marshmallows, it sparks a lot of energy just by us giving conversation at any given time or any given moment, you know, and it all circulates through love. So, you know, I received the energy from that. So to go on what I'm saying is I was just following my intuition, just so happened, this week. And I guess you were preparing the show this week. And you brought to my consciousness that you are the representative, basically the reflection of Heather Root. Okay, you know, much love and power to you. You know, this journey tonight was, you know, both an ass whooping and a blessing, you know, I must say. And I want to thank you for that. But the thing about it is, you know, I've been following self, and it's been leading me to the goddess energy and controlling the goddess energy and lining it up with the right side. You know, you were saying that we need to balance both because we can't, you know, we can't just live in one world. We got to know all of them. So
yes.
You really brung out a energy over in Memphis, really. I guess it was a reflection of my physical storm and it passing over, you know, as it is. And another thing, yeah, y'all do need to get y'all herb packs out here because it's real deep. I got mine. But, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just co-signing with the mother energy tonight. And it's really been a blessing tonight, man. I mean, it's lovely. I mean, no words can explain it, but, you know, I want to give you much appreciation and much appreciation to the Remix family that's even tuning in to the energy. You know what I'm saying? Because just by us tuning in, it's raising the energy of all.
Okay.
Because nothing exists out of all, so, you know, we all going together.
That's right.
So, you know, that's just one I wanted to say tonight. And, you know, I can see all three energies emanating out of you, and this emulating out of everybody else also is myself. So I appreciate that. It was a nice show. And that moon and that galaxy trip, that was off the chain.
Well, beautiful. Glad. Thank you so much for calling in and keep doing what you're doing out there in Memphis and raising that energy out there as well, too. So peace and love to you.
Oh, yeah, another thing. Do me a favor and take some of that spoonful for yourself because, you know, you always
sipping in your cup. Well, thank you, brother. Thank you. Peace and love.
All right, thank you.
All right, beautiful. We're going to continue on. If you guys are on the phone, you can press 1. We have about 23 minutes left to go. Here in the form, we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 212. You are live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, Blue. This is Tiffany.
Greetings, Tiffany.
Oh, okay. I'm doing... I wanted to say that I saw two shooting stars tonight while watching a show on the terrace. One was when you were talking about the drinking of the milk from the Milky Way, and really accepting that. I saw a shooting star, and just now when the guy was talking, I forgot his name. I'm sorry. I saw another shooting star. So,
beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty magical. But I just wanted to say I really like the show, and it's giving me insight. I think it's helping me move forward.
Well, beautiful.
So personally. Yeah.
Beautiful. So, well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That's it. I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for calling in, and definitely thank you for sharing that, and glad that you've seen those stars out there. It actually, like I said, a lot of powerful energy on the planet today. There is also a meteor shower that's going on as well that you guys can see moving us into Saturday here. You know, while the full moon is there, it's blocking some of it. But look at those stars, you know, see that reflection, understand, you know, sort of that energy being raised up within yourself. So beautiful. Thank you guys so much. I think we got all the callers. I'm going to try to go back. If anyone else has a question or a comment that you want to share, we're on the phone. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1. When you get on the phone lines, I see many of you still here on the phone lines. So if it's something that you want to share, press 1, let me know, and we can go from there. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to Sister Rainwater as well. I know we didn't, I don't know if Rain is still in the building. If she is, she can definitely put down her link for you guys to get those dream amps. That is so, so powerful as well. I'm going to also play her spot here, and then we'll see. If there's no more questions, then we'll go ahead and sort of end the show right here so we can all go continue to ride on the Milky Way and do some work. I see someone else just chimed in, a couple of more people. So let's catch those calls and we'll go. Just when I thought you guys weren't listening, you are so beautiful. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 719. You're live in Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Ms. Blue, this is Almost Tim from Colorado one more time. And I have a question. what do you think about the majority of black people being lactose intolerant?
Well, you know, about us being lactose intolerant, we're not actually talking about milk, because really, based upon my studies and studies of others, such as Dr. Africa and Queen Afua, that really work in the holistic realm, most of them can agree that after we get off of our mother's milk, we really don't need milk in that sense. You know, it's really not sort of conducive for our body. And even if we begin to look at milk right now, I mean, even the Food and Drug Administration has come out with their own reports to say that drinking milk has been shown to cause cancer because some of the hormones and all the different additives that's put into the milk. I particularly like almond milk. Which is not actually, you're not drinking sort of what we would call the milk as well. I think our body is rejecting these things, a lot of different things that are going on that our bodies are starting to reject based upon because they don't sort of have those properties that they once had in them. So they've become sort of kind of diluted in a sense. So most of us being lactose intolerant of milk is because we're actually not really drinking milk. I mean, that's what I got to say.
Yeah, that's nasty. Oh, when I hear that.
Yes. Right. Yes, it's so induced with so many different hormones and different additives. And then, you know, we even think about the situation of how the cows are being treated. You know, in ancient Kemet, cows were sacred. They were sacred animals for reason, you understand. And so this, you know, we kind of screwed that all up, like a lot of things.
Absolutely. Yeah, so like basically the mainstream media with like Tiger Woods and the milk mustache, they're basically sending us in reverse when we shouldn't be drinking of the God like that, but they're making us go against what our bodies are telling us what we shouldn't be doing in the first place.
Right. And, you know, as with all things, there is a polarity side to it. So for those that choose to drink milk, I say if it's working for you, keep drinking it. You know, but for me, it not so much. I think we should begin to check into these things because they're not what they used to be. I would say maybe 20, 30 years ago, maybe milk did do the body good. Milk is not doing the body good anymore. You understand?
Okay.
So, you know, you know, just like you said, if it's not working for you anymore, so, you know, it's always going to be that reflection that certain, you know, that certain people are going to show they get to show their reflection more than that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing that again with us, Almost Him.
Right.
I love that name. I love that name. When are you going to become him? That's what I want to know. When are you going to be him?
Oh, I don't know. I hope soon. I hope real soon.
Yeah.
I'm anticipating it myself.
I love it. I love it. Peace and love to you. All right. We're going to continue on. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 601. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
My name is Nicole, and I'm calling from Mississippi.
Greetings to you. Greetings. Greetings.
I just want to tell you I enjoyed the show. I really did. I really did, and you helped me out a lot tonight.
Oh, well, thank you. I haven't heard your voice in a minute, but you have called in before. It's good to hear from you.
You did for me, too. I've been, you know, I kind of related to one of the earlier callers, the female that called in and said about the... Mm-hmm. I didn't get to hear it all because my computer messed up on me, but how, you know, you change, or the men say you change when you kind of, I feel like, you know, sometimes they will say something and I'll say something back and then they shut down.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I commend you sisters that are meeting men that you guys say stuff to them and they shut down. Because some of these brothers and the ones I know that are alpha males, they not shutting down. They getting real riled up when you come at them real hard. So I don't know. I don't know. That may be a good thing if they can kind of shut down.
or they I'm say sorry. You try to be a man, you know, but if I don't see them taking a role as a man, then I see them as weak. Am I wrong for that? I tried to sleep with my mother, but I don't think she saw it my way.
Right. I don't really think that there's such a thing as being wrong for if we can see their weakness. You know, that's one of those things that's kind of a little tricky, particularly when it comes to our brothers and being able to see their weakness, because as women, that's a part of our role with them, is to be able to see their weakness, but not to use it as a weapon to tear them down, but really to use our wisdom, to use our movement, and to use our creativity to help build them up. That's a big part of our role. That's why we are the ones with the breast. We're the nurturers. We're the ones that give sort of that life that we talked about, that energy in the Milky Way, because that's what we're really supposed to be doing, you know, really to help build them up, not take their weakness and really tear them down with it. And I think a lot of times we miss that, because the person that could see a brother's weakness better than he can see it, it's his woman. That's who's supposed to be able to see it. But somehow that kind of got distorted, I think. Not in all cases, but in a lot of cases. And we thought because we can see that weakness that this meant that they were weak. That's not it. You're supposed to be able to see your man's weakness. But you're also supposed to be able to take him, to show him how to take that weakness and make it into his strength. And sometimes when we get into arguments, I know we're all human, and sometimes we get upset at each other, then what flies out of our mouth is those words. We want to cause pain. We want to cause that hurt. You know, we want them to be able to see that. And what happens is it causes that man, like you said, it causes him to break down, because oftentimes we're the only ones that's really bold enough to tell him.
Yeah.
This is your damn problem, because we can see it. Now, that's not the best time to really kind of get that information out to him. Not that you can't be upset, you know. Not that you can't be upset. Not that a woman cannot be upset. But I'll tell you, our greatest strength is in our love, in our gentleness, in our firmness, and our consistency. Not trying to go toe-to-toe with a man. Because with that force and that power coming at us that way, we don't really jive like that. So that creates a whole nother energy happening. There was something that I've seen in nature, and I thought this was the coolest thing in the world. I'll take us to this. They showed where these deers, and I believe these were sort of like antlers that were in Africa. They're on the continent of Africa. You can find them there. I can't remember what kind. But what happens during mating season is they all kind of get around in a circle. All of the women, they get around in a circle. And then inside the circle, the men are there. And what the men do is they fight for the best position so that the woman can see them in the best position. So the men are in the circle. They find sort of the woman they want, and then they get in that spot, and then another male comes up and sort of kind of challenges them. And the one who wins, the strongest one, is the one that the woman goes to. So to give the balance to what I just told you, is what I feel a lot of our men need to do, is that they need to bring their strength. They need to bring their strength. They need to bring out so much of their strength that even if we're able to see their weakness, that their strength will overweigh the weaknesses. But too many times these men have started out as young boys, and we have done like the queen did to Ascent.
we are snatching our young boys out the fire while they're trying to get raised up to become gods. And so they're missing a big part of what is needed for them to take their rightful places. They don't understand what that means. And so the world teaches them about aggression, how to take things by force. Some of them cannot even stand up for themselves. Some of them cannot take care of themselves. In fact, a lot of these brothers are out here looking for a sister who already has themselves set up, has their own house, has their own job, has their own cars, so that they can come live with them. Isn't that what we do with mamas?
Right.
At some point, as Elder Haru would say, and I hope it's okay that I quote him here, you got to take the titty out the mouth. And a lot of mamas is not taking their titty out their baby's mouth, out their boy's mouth. So they find a girl and they begin to go over to this next woman, and all they want to do is suckle on her titty. And we're really no better as women, because some women cannot even nurse their own babies when they get them, because they think that their titty is only for a man to be sucking on. So when the baby comes, they can't even, you know, the mother is like, well, you know, the doctor is like, well, can the baby latch? No, the baby can't latch. Why can't the baby latch? The baby can't latch onto your titty. Why can't you nurse your baby? Because it's psychological. Because in their mind, they're so used to having men suck their titties that they don't even recognize that this also serves a greater purpose. So this is the place where both of us have become out of balance when it comes to our relationships to each other. Ultimately, us as the woman, we have to begin to think about this when we think about our children and when we think about ourselves. You know, are you still letting that 12-year-old boy suck on your titty? You understand? So soon...
A 15-year-old, I'm trying to get off of there, and he just being, sometimes I feel like he's being rebellious, and I try to not lash at him. You know, I get this, I'm a Leo, so I get this energy, like he's trying to take over, and I'm like, no.
Well, that's in a natural boy's, a young man's nature, to want to be able to take that role. But then there is that balance that's there to recognize that mama is here, and there is nothing that you're going to do to disrespect mama. But see, a lot of this, and I'm a mother too, so I take my own faults here on some of this, is that we cannot wait till our children and our boys become men. Because really, when they're 16, that's a grown man. We got to start doing this when they're babies. See, it's not cute when they're telling you no, they're not going to go to bed, or they're kicking you, or they're pushing you, or you tell them 20 times not to do something and they still keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That is symbolic of you letting them suck on the titty. So now when they get 16 and you tell them not to do something, you're a joke to them. I ain't got to listen to you.
Yeah, I used to get on them real hard. That's not even working, you know, too much. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll tell me, calm all that down. Or I taught him to not really fear people because of things I went through when I was younger. So I wanted them to be
right.
More open with me about everything.
But yeah, and you can. I think that's a beautiful. I'm very open with my children, but make no mistake. They recognize that we ain't friends. We ain't buddies. I'm your mother.
Yeah, I got it.
And so I can laugh with you, and I can play with you, but don't cross that line. Don't cross that line.
Yeah.
We see this in nature, you see. But your son is not so much the problem. That's not the issue. The issue that I know that you're dealing with, and I know I kind of went on a tangent there, but I thought that was a good place to bring that in. The issue you're dealing with is sort of how to balance out this energy within the man that you're with. I think too many times we have discussions when we are in our lower emotions. And a lot of times when you're the one who knows, you're the one who's responsible. And so maybe instead of just paying tit for tat, you hurt me, I hurt you, maybe take some time. Think about it. Address it when you can be in a different place with it, when it's not so much that you want to cause pain and hurt to other people. You know, someone told me that love is conditional. And I didn't really believe that. Is love conditional? I thought love was supposed to be unconditional, but it's not. Too many times we play the game of conditional love. And so our love becomes this bargain piece. And if you piss me off, if you make me mad, I take my love back and I no longer love you. I no longer want to share this with you. And we do this not only with our men in our lives and brothers, not only with the women in your life or our children, but we play this game with ourselves first. Because a person who knows how to play conditional love has played it with themselves. And so that's why it's important to make sure that you love you. When you love yourself and you are number one, all of those things that is out of balance, you'll be able to see them very clearly. And it takes work. It takes work. And I think it takes a lifetime of work to get to that place. Not where you can forget about other people and forget about their feelings, but also so that you can also know that that reflection is within yourself, first and foremost. You know?
Yeah. So I've been trying to be a little less direct and put other people, you know, just look at my mother always saying, nobody thinks like you think. So I was like, okay, I'll try to look at it and not be so hard on them. But I separate it. I try to separate myself from him. And he's
still. Sometimes that's necessary to separate yourself. I don't think it's anything wrong with that. I mean, don't let somebody take you in the circle jerk. That's not cool either. To
right,
be in
I
the
just
circle jerk.
Just leave him alone, period. But they say that's wrong. But I don't even want to be bothered with all the drama that came along with it.
Right. Right. And I can understand that as well, too, because ultimately, at the end of the day, we have to do what's best for us. And, you know, that has to be respected on all levels. I think definitely you need to sort of spend some more time with yourself, you know, be in that place of peace, be in that place of stillness with yourself, because you tend to internalize things. We talked about this, I think, about a year ago. It was a situation with your sister. Yeah.
I shut her completely off.
Yes. And sometimes it is necessary to cut people completely out of your life, and then other times it's not. Sometimes cutting them off is just our way of not remembering or a way of us not seeing our own reflections. You see?
Yeah, I had to cut her off. That's never going to work.
Yeah. So it's about knowing.
It's done.
Mm-hmm. But eventually, here's the thing, and I'll say this in closing. You can't keep cutting everyone out of your life. At some point, when are you going to say, maybe it's something, like your mama said, that I need to do different?
Yeah.
Is it about really cutting everybody out of your life, or is it about maybe you need to make some changes? Not that some don't need to go. But when you find yourself just eliminating people after people after people after people, then you have to ask yourself, why is it? Why do I keep being here? Why do I keep seeing this? You know, what is it about me that I need to shift within myself? Even if you never go back and build those relationships, because it's not about them. It's ultimately about you. Being able to get your lesson. So the next time that someone becomes close to you, or the next time someone comes in your life that is there, relationships, I don't care if they're with your children, I don't care if they're with yourself, I don't care if they're with your man who loves you to death and you love him to death, it takes work. And a lot of times, like the 14 pieces of putting things back together, sometimes we're just not willing to do the work. But I say, if you can help put your pieces back together, then it becomes easier to see where someone's still struggling to put theirs.
Yeah, I've been seeing it.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for calling in. We have like a minute and 27 seconds left to go. What a great way to close out the show. Hopefully you'll join me Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we continue to be here in the remix and continue to have these shares that have been so helpful to everyone. So I'm going to close out now just wishing everyone peace and love, much love, warm spirit as well, to you as well. And to everyone out there, please, if you like the show, like it. If you love it, love it. Hit me up on Facebook. Leave some feedback. I would love to know you guys' thoughts as well. See you Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Know you can always call the Know Your Magic line or join me in the Blue Blast as well, or email me at question, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N, the number 4. Blue. Peace and love, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get ourselves up out of here. We're going to play a little bit of Slipping Into the Darkness. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, 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 well.